United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, so pleasant and warm, clearly a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Go to the doctor.
My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He called everyone. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Visit StrokesNoJoke.org, brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
America's best talk. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And it is 11 minutes after the hour, 12 noon here on WSOM. And on the 21st of August, and we're listening to Steve Earle. And he's singing about burning Walmart down.
I still think you're on the wrong. Walmart's on its way out.
No.
Yeah, it is.
No.
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of hard to lose $88 billion.
Well,
I don't know where you how you count.
I keep telling you.
Turn your, you didn't turn your mic up.
I
The number is 347-945-5229. Today's going to be an open mic, so if you want to call in and hang out, Larry Long is in the studio with me. Sticks, today's Wednesday. It's hump day. Sticks is here. And we're just having a conversation. What, Sticks?
I keep telling you, A&P Markets had a larger percentage of the
market.
Of the market in the 20s than Walmart has today. And when was the last time you saw an A&P? They're building Family Dollar and Dollar General stores all over the place.
Okay.
What you see with Walmart, and it's just like any company, you see, you know, rapid growth.
Yep.
And then they hit a plateau, and the ones that are stand the test of time will stay there. Walmart's not going anywhere. I don't see them going to AP thing that you were talking about, but I think they're at that plateau now.
Listen, they may be at the plateau, but you have to understand what they've already done.
Have you ever heard the curse of the big building?
The big box? No.
The curse of the big building.
Okay, explain.
The big corporate headquarters. Every entity
mm-hmm.
that builds an edifice to itself shortly after loses its dominant position.
Okay,
I'm with you on that.
Apple just built a large edifice to itself. It's on its way out. Find the next big thing. Walmart
Sticks.
Has just built a large edifice to
Sticks.
Itself.
Sticks.
Watch for the next big thing, which is going to be Family Dollar, Dollar General.
Sticks. Family Dollar and Dollar General may become competitive. Don't get me wrong. Walmart has destroyed the America that we know just by its business practices.
But Family Dollar and Dollar General are renewing that.
No, they're not.
They have the buying power of a Walmart.
You're missing the point.
No, because their business model is better.
No.
Listen,
we're not talking about the business model. We're talking about what it's already done. The manufacturing of American products has gone offshore, and Walmart had a lot to do with it. Just based on their pushing for pricing.
Right.
Well,
I'm not saying that's going to change with Family Dollar or Dollar General.
And so my issue is not that they're going to die. They can go out of business tomorrow and you can burn them down. But my problem is you will never create another manufacturing base the way that we had it before Walmart came in and pushed a lot of manufacturers' doors shut.
Where's Walmart's corporate headquarters?
Bentonville, Arkansas.
Who pushed favored trading status with the Chi-Coms?
Bill Clinton.
Where's he governor from?
Arkansas.
Okay.
Just checking. I mean, you have to understand what happened.
I believe Hillary Clinton was on the board.
Yeah.
Of Walmart.
We're getting to Hillary. We only have 15 minutes in the show yet. Hold up. Slow down. We're going too fast. But Walmart, it's not about what they do. It's about what they've done. And I know, I watched them put businesses out of business. Because at one time when you bought something, if I bought 100 widgets, I had to warehouse those 100 widgets myself. Walmart said, we're so big now, we will no longer warehouse my widgets. You will drop ship the widgets when we need your widgets in those stores.
Right.
So you will not pre-sell them. What you'll do is you'll just backload them in and drop ship them, and you have to hold on to the inventory, and we will not pay you until the inventory is released.
And it's just not the –
And we're only going to pay you $3 for your $10 widget.
Yeah, and it's not just manufacturers they did. They've put whole trucking companies out.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, when I was in in the trucking industry before, like if you were dealing with a manufacturer, you'd go talk to their traffic manager.
Right.
And they would give you the lanes
right.
that they ship to, and then, you know, with their clients. And you would bid on those lanes whatever
right.
you could. Now, it was a sealed bid, so you would have to be competitive. But Walmart doesn't do it like that. Walmart tells you these are the lanes.
And this is what we'll pay.
And this is what we're going to pay.
And if you don't like it, you don't have to play with us.
And
see, here's what bothers me with your complaint about Walmart. You have a problem with Walmart dictating price. But you don't have a problem with Henry Nemens getting a better price.
He doesn't get a better price.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Henry Nemens gets a better price than a little bitty IGA in Beloit.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he
doesn't. IGA sells him his product. IGA sets the price.
Listen to what I'm
saying.
And
IGA sells him his product cheaper than the mom and pop IGA.
Listen, no, that mom and pop IGA has an opportunity to go into the Grocers Association and buy from there. The prop,
that's right.
Listen,
but the Grocers Association charges them more than Henry.
But what I'm saying is because Henry's buying in volume. Volume has always been king. If you buy a truck, you can always get three with 10.
And Walmart's not buying in volume?
The problem is volume. Now, they're buying in so much volume, they're dictating on how much they're going to pay. So they're not being competitive. They're pushing you out the way. And what's going to happen is as soon as they push everybody out the way, they rose in their prices because that's what they did.
So it's okay that Henry can push mom and pop and Beloit out of the way because of his volume, but it's not okay that Walmart can push Henry out of the way with their volume.
But Henry didn't. Henry is going out of business. So you need to make sure you check your facts. Henry went from 16 stores down to like 4 because of unions and because of pushing out of Walmart. Walmart has come in and they undercut you so great, and you cannot compete. You cannot continue. And let me say this. And fair competition is good. But when you become a monopoly in which they're doing, it's bad.
But don't you see,
and it's done on the back of America.
Don't you see how illogical you're being on this? Because you're saying it's okay. Because Quaker City IGA in Beloit went from 1 store to 0.
And guess what? And we went from 16 to 2. That's what I'm saying. And all of it has,
but the thing
all
is,
of it
the
has to do with Walmart.
Is treating one guy better
because,
than the other. When it,
but
if you belong to an association,
no. It goes by,
the same.
You can't treat everyone the same. It goes by your volume. If you're going to buy more, you're going to get a better price. But you don't make it to where I can dictate the price, and if I don't like your price, I'll put you out of business. Because when you have 2,700 stores, it makes a difference.
I think you're being illogical.
I'm not being illogical.
Because you're showing favoritism to one guy you like and one guy you don't.
This is not about Henry Nimmons. This is about Vlasic Pickles. This is about Hoover Sweepers. This is about Hostess Ho-Hos. This is about the major manufacturers of these corporations that came in. They were working on a margin, and Walmart said, if you don't supply to us at this price, if you don't hold onto your own inventory, and if you don't buy this $100,000 software, you won't play with us. Walmart did that. Walmart did that into the, and I know this for a fact because I worked in the industry. I watched them push out HBAs, and they said, if you don't do it at this price, if you don't co-op at these dollars, you will not sell into our stores. And if you don't sell into Walmart, you're no longer in business.
Why aren't you?
Because
there are a lot of vacuum cleaner companies. No, I know about Hoover's. Grew up in Canton.
Okay.
Know all about Hoover.
And so why is Hoover now made in China? And why did Hoover, Ohio, now is a ghost town? Why is that?
Well, but for one thing, the Hoover plant is not a ghost town. It's not an incubator for a lot of business.
No. But where is Hoover? You name a company after a city, and the company that you have is no longer there. And this is what I'm saying. You've got to understand the business practices of Walmart.
I understand.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
If I came in and told you I'm going to rent your house, and you're only going to you're going to rent me a house for $1 a day, which is $30 a month.
We'll tell you fly kite.
Guess what?
They'll do that to all your neighbors, and
I'll make sure that I undercut anybody, so no one will be in your house. No one will rent from you until you come down to my pricing.
Then I'll burn it down.
I'd see them do that with trucking companies. Walmart's not alone. The big three were like that.
What's the big Walmart, Target?
No, I'm talking about the automotive. Ford, Chrysler, and GM.
I agree there. I mean,
what's
General
the difference?
Motors used the power of the federal government to drive Tucker out of business.
So that's what we're saying. And Walmart did the same model with everyone else. And now, remember, they used to be all about American made. You ain't heard them say American and or made in a very long time. Why?
But how can Oric make money making vacuum cleaners and Hoover
can't?
They're
not making any money.
Oric isn't making money?
Not like Hoover was. Hoover was in Hoover Craft Made. These companies were actually employing cities.
I know that.
They were making cities run.
I know that.
They're not doing that anymore.
And you won't get it back. I know what you're talking about. You got the incubator, but how much?
You don't get up. The volume is not there.
The people and everything. I know one guy that retired. Actually, he's still working, but he took all of – it was crazy because he had Hoover's 401K.
Right.
So when it went under
– he lost.
Well, no, he didn't. He knew who they were. He was managing their 401Ks. Mm-hmm. He rolled them all into private IRAs and made a ton of money.
Mm-hmm. But he knew something.
Yeah, he knew something.
But you got to understand, you go to Walmart, and Walmart says, you know what, you make a 24-piece toilet paper. We don't want 24-piece. We want 36. And if you don't make it into 36, we won't buy your toilet paper.
I heard you guys on the show yesterday, I think it was, when you were talking about you didn't people didn't know about dollars and currency and everything.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that be wiser to advocate a policy where, okay, maybe your total dollars that you see is stagnant, but the prices went down.
Right, which is what we had world basically in the Western world from 1789 to about 1913.
But look at what happened.
It was called benign deflation.
And what happened, companies came in, and we started globalizing, and we started making things cheaper. So instead of paying $49 for an iron and and keeping it for 10 years, we pay $20 for an iron and keep it for a year and a half.
Tracy, we're all mad at the wrong person. Do you know what happened, what really happened?
Okay, I'm listening.
1971, Richard Nixon did two things. He opened up China, and he took the U.S. off the gold standard. And we exported our inflation around the world, and we weakened our dollar, and that's what brought on the globalization.
It may have begun with Nixon and the globalization, but it went on steroids. The same thing we're talking about Barack Obama, and we say, well, you know, it started with Bush and the Patriot Act and did all this and, you know, Ashcroft and all that. We scream and holler about all that what happened with the Patriot Act and nobody was happy and we shouldn't have let it happen. But see, we now have taken that which was always already there and they have put it on steroids. And it is in mass production and you can see it. And what's happening is you can't put the baby back in the womb. And that's a problem. Because right now, even though you see these soft numbers for unemployment, manufacturing is still not where it should and or could and needs to be to make people employed.
Has it occurred to you that they don't want manufacturing in the United States?
I don't care about what they want and what they don't want. What I care about is what we need and what we need to have. He who does not make anything becomes oblivious after a while. You can't live on services.
We obviously have an entire group of people with a lot of authority that do not want to make anything in the United States, both political and financial. Because if we had people that wanted to produce things in the United States, we wouldn't even be arguing about fracking.
Again.
I just heard on the way in here the laborers local in Wheeling has doubled in size in the last year.
Oh, they're making a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah,
there they are.
And we got these goofballs around here that frack free Mahoning Valley. They don't want jobs. They don't want to work. They don't want anything except a handout from the government.
That's not true. That's not true. The people that you're talking about that is a frack free Mahoning Valley, they are not about the people people are undereducated about fracking.
Right.
You know, you're trying to say that people don't want to work. There are people that want to work. You've got people clouding the issue for their own agendas, but it has absolutely nothing to do with people wanting to get a job.
If people wanted to go to work, they'd tell the green lobby to go fly a kite.
You can't tell them that if you don't know any better.
They would tell.
Just because
it takes carbon. I just talked to a guy, an engineer Ohio Edison.
Do you realize we've cut the carbon footprint that we keep talking about and the shutting down of the coal mines is going to kill us?
Tracy,
do you understand that?
I just talked to an engineer from Edison this weekend, a friend of mine's brother, the Samus plant. You know why they spent $1 billion on
$1.6 billion.
Right.
To make it clean. You know why it's closed? Its carbon footprint's too big. Who in their right mind calls plant food pollution?
Six, listen to what I said. The people have been snowed, and they're ignorant. We have dumbed down America so much that most of the stuff we talk about on this show, people have no idea what the heck we're talking about because you don't hear it.
Well,
and they make sure that the news no longer knows about
it. What it boils down to is what Grandpa always said. If you want a job, prepare to get dirty.
You can't.
Well, you ask half the people out there, three-quarters of people out there asking what quantitative easing is.
Who?
And quantitative easing. Now, I can't spell it without my spell check, but I know what it is. You know what I mean?
Printing $85 billion a month.
But you talk to the average
quantitative of what?
Easing.
Easing.
Juan.
That's when you write an $85 billion check out of your checking account every month and there ain't no money in there to cover it.
No, that means bounce check.
No. Because
not with the Fed.
No, because you're the federal government.
It's an IOU in there.
And there's a law, and there's a law that says you have to accept that green paper stuff
but
for debts, public and private.
This is the problem. People are not. We need to be honest. When I talk about Walmart, it's not that I hate Walmart. I hate Walmart's practices of what they've done. And you have to admit, I'm a capitalist. I understand in making money. But I understand capitalism needs to be fair. And when you take Beloit and Henry Nimmons and you put them in the IGA and they have different buying, those are practices and procedures. If he did not like that, he could have gone to Sparkle. At one time, he could have gone to Associated Grocers. There were other places to go to jobbers to make it happen. But what Walmart has done, they jumped over the jobbers. They jumped over the distribution. They jumped over the trucking. They jumped over the – and the more money they make, the more they put their foot on the neck and squash the small guy. They didn't go after Kmart. They went after the small guys, and they put them out of business. They came in. Right now, you see Walmart is now taking over cell phone distribution. And so now these small little associates that had these little kiosks in the mall that they owned that they made their living out of,
gone.
They're going out of business because they can't compete. Because Walmart says, well, we'll sell all your phones, we'll sell all your services, we'll give you all your commission. You don't have to pay us anything. Just let us put us in the store, and you just pay me rent every month.
You from a business standpoint, you got to look back, sit back, and step out of it and look at what Walmart's done. It's genius.
I mean, it is.
I mean, they just – and when you talk about stepping on the guy's neck, you know, while he's down, that's football 101.
So now your eyeglass place, you can go in there and get – they go and buy a couple of $1 million worth of frames that they can – and they call them – they're lost because you just don't go in Walmart and get your eyes checked and walk out. Mm-hmm. Hold on. So you have to understand that. You just don't walk in – and so I'll sell my goods that are priced higher. They sell TV. So CMAX Television, who's here in Youngstown trying to lay on the life, is trying to compete. And it's very difficult to compete with Walmart when you can go buy a TV at Walmart for $200 and the same TV for him he pays $200 for. So CMAX, who's been in business 100 years, and he's not rich. He's just employed about 4 people in the neighborhood, and he's got his family. He's put his kid through his college. They've done all this, and now they can't compete. Because how – come on now. And you're talking – well, it's just not right. Because those small little stores, those small little entrepreneurs who took care of maybe 10 people in the neighborhood, they hired the guy who just got out of jail because they knew his grandpa and they gave him another chance. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
I agree, but we're just blaming different people.
But no, but I'm saying, but you have to understand, if you look at the big Walmart and Sam's Club, I mean, if you even look at Kmart can't even compete with Walmart. Kmart's doing good to turn their lights on every day. Thank God for Sears, and thank God for Sears Appliances. But you have to understand, Walmart, this model that they have, as ingenious as it is a capitalistic nightmare when it comes to making sure you have fair trade in the community and in the marketplace.
But the thing is, the things that small business can use to compete with Walmart are being taken away from them daily. That's the thing.
And who's taking it away?
The government.
And who's controlling the government? Who's controlling that aspect of the government to make sure that they – it's like going into and doing a spec. And I've got to take a break. Hold on, Steve. It's like writing a spec, and you bring me in to spec out your bid. You're going out for an RFP, and you're going to have me come in and spec it out. And I say, well, listen, you have to have a WV on your chest to walk in the door. And the only one that got a WV is Larry, because you got a United Metal on your chest. And so you, no matter if you're lower, because you can't provide a WV on your chest, you can't get the bid. And why? Because I'm sitting at the table. And, yes, government regulation has made it to where – hand me that, Larry – has made it to where we can't compete. But Walmart has manipulated it, and we have allowed it.
Right.
And it's a
Walmart
problem.
Walmart has paid lobbyists to gin up the educated – or the useful idiots.
And, again, what we're doing is with the jobs, with the manufacturing, with the logistics, all of these areas. And now they're going into areas of – they have pharmaceutical now – They also have, you know, for your shots. Mm-hmm. They're competing with you. All that's going on. And we don't understand you can only employ so many people. What happens to the other people, and where do they go when everything's coming offshore, including your medicines? I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
I'm Julio Flores with your headline news. The Mercer County coroner confirmed that Brian Krause, 37, of Newcastle, died as a result of head and pelvis injuries. According to the report, Krause was thrown from an elevated walkway to the ground following the explosion. The death has been ruled accidental. Krause was killed while working on a tank at Brownies Oil Company in the Reynolds Industrial Park. Goshen Township police have found a new way to document what happens during every traffic stop and police call. They're using what's called body-worn cameras. Corporal Nicholas Brent with the Goshen Township Police Department says the main thing is so that you can see from the officer's perspective at a later date exactly what was said, the demeanor of the subject, and maybe even something that the officer missed at the time. When the school year starts, about 57,000 children whose parents thought they were going to receive Head Start services will be left out. According to Head Start officials, cuts add up to children getting a late start in an increasingly competitive academic world. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
When I have one of those days, I know it's waiting for me at home.
It's the best purchase I've ever made.
I sleep so much better, I actually feel relaxed the next day.
These are actual statements made by Burnett Pools customers when they're talking about their hot spring spas. Don't you deserve a new spa? With pricing as low as $75 per month, you definitely can afford one. Your aching muscles, your stiff joints will relax and unwind. Tension will vanish. Burnett Pools has never had an offer like this in their 62-year history. For a limited time, 0% APR for 60 months. And payments as low as $75 per month now through August 25th.
My friends ask me what I'm doing different, why I look so much younger.
Refresh, rejuvenate, and most of all, relax. For more details, visit a Burnett Pools near you in Canfield, Cortland, or Newcastle, or online at burnettpools.com.
Burnett Pools, we've got it all.
26th anniversary sale going on right now, Marianne. 26 years of satisfying thousands of customers says it all. And in honor of that, we'll give you 26% off on all our great American-made WeatherTight windows, siding, entry and patio doors, kitchen cabinet facing, and gutter covers. And check out more specials. Check our webpage, myweathertight.com and weathertightwindows.com, or take a short little drive between Youngstown and Warren. We're in Liberty Township, 1596 Motor Inn Drive. We're open from 7 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. We'll keep the window open for you too. Senior military discounts. Check us out with a BBB. Don't forget our window standalone with quality service and value. We are the real deal. Here's the number for the free estimate: 1-800-821-8483. That's 1-800-821-8483. And like always, guys, whether it be one window or house full, Mrs. Mervin, the WeatherTight guarantee you'll be satisfied with WeatherTight replacement windows for the life of your house.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, this summer your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer brings you thrilling adventure and heroic performance. Stop in to find blockbuster deals on vehicles like Ford Focus. Visit driveoneohio.com.
Never bet on a horse named Tripod. Never go cliff diving with a guy named Cliff. It's just too many cliffs. Never play leapfrog with a unicorn. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, tires, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $21.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Changing lives for the better. Tudor Physical Therapy Centers, 330-965-9330.
Your favorite station really helps you out. Thanks to iHeartRadio, you can take your favorite station in your mobile device. Download the free iHeartRadio app at iHeartRadio.com.
Go on, sweetie, jump to Dad.
I'm not sure, Daddy. The water's cool.
There are moments in life that cause us to hesitate.
Jump right here.
Okay. Here I come.
I got you. Good job.
I did it. That was fun.
But once we take action, we're really glad that we did. If you're thinking about selling your home, don't hesitate. Interest rates are low and buyers are in the market. Every market's different. Call a Realtor today and visit Realtor.com. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Hi, it's Heather in the studio with Bob Davis from Fairway Ford in Canfield. And when your Ford truck leader, Fairway Ford, has a truck sale, it's a real truck sale.
Heather, with over 300 new 2013 Ford F-150s available at Fairway Ford, you're sure to find the truck you want. And right now, you get the biggest discounts ever on new F-150s at Fairway Ford. For the first time in our history, we're taking 30% off MSRP of every brand new 2013 Ford XLT in stock. Yes, 30% off MSRP.
Wow, 30% off means you save up to $13,000 off MSRP of new 2013 Ford XLT F-150s.
And if you're looking for something other than an XLT, every other new 2013 Ford F-150 is 25% off MSRP. That includes STX, XL, FX4, and Lariat. Plus, we'll include a bedliner and remote start, too. See us at fairwayford.us or call 330-533-FORD. Fairway, that's the way we do business.
How long do you expect to work? A recent study by Northwestern Mutual found that 1 in 3 Americans expect to work into their 70s, and 1 in 10 will work past 80. Part of that may be by choice, but studies show strong evidence that retirement is being delayed out of necessity. Rebecca Barsh at Northwestern Mutual in Milwaukee, Wisconsin explains.
We found that over half of Americans say they are financially prepared to live just until age 75 based on their current situation and saving strategy. That number drops to 44% of those who say they're prepared to live to age 85, and only about one-third of Americans feel financially prepared to live to age 95.
That's a big contrast.
Bob, it's a powerful illustration of how far behind people are feeling about retirement, so it's critical to have a comprehensive plan in place to achieve long-term financial security. That means having your money last as long as you do.
For more information on your roadmap to retirement, visit NorthwesternMutual.com. I'm Bob Tebow for the Consumer Radio Network.
This is what your government thinks. Same people that didn't realize a war on terror existed.
Now they're saying it's over.
Somebody tell the terrorists that.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600, WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and I'm fighting with Six during the break because he just won't listen to me. If Mark knows it all, and Jeff knows everything, you know, I just know what I know, and I know Walmart. The business of Walmart really didn't make it easy.
I just think that they will continue. They're going to start losing market share, and they will continue to lose market share until they're.
It's not about
of the same of the
that's
same.
That's what I'm saying. You're thinking about something totally different than I am. It's not about their. It's not about them going out. So what if they go out of business today? Who cares? The model that they set, the precedent that they set, and what they've done is it just won't get done. It's irreconcilable. You can't fix it.
I don't agree with you. Everything has a cycle.
No.
Everything old is new again.
Okay, let me see.
You will see manufacturing in the United States rebound as soon as we can, as soon as we want to go back to work.
Listen, if you look at what's going on out, and Steve, I'm going to pick you up in just a second. The number is 347-945-5229. If you look at what is going on inside of our manufacturing with technology, You have to understand, and I you have to see what the robots.
I've seen the robots. I know what it takes. It takes less men to produce a ton of steel than it ever has.
I ain't talking about steel. I'm just talking about putting together widgets at Delphi. You have to understand, there used to be a guy who used to push a cart to deliver parts from one section of Delphi to the other.
Now they do it on a conveyor belt.
No, they don't.
Or a robot.
They have these square little boxes.
Right.
And they go and park themselves, and they automatically trigger them when they need something. Those used to be jobs. So that which we used to have 10,000 jobs for, we only have three.
Right.
And right now you cannot go, and that which you have people doing, we're doing it offshore, and then we bring it back to the States to assemble.
Right.
But as far, you're not going to get those back.
Yes, you will.
No, you won't.
Yes, you will.
You can't.
Yes, you can.
How?
Because I believe in the American worker.
The American worker is not going to go work for $5, $10 an hour, especially when they're going on strike at McDonald's trying to get $15 an hour to flip a burger. Are you insane?
Which means McDonald's will put in more machinery. They'll modernize more. They'll put in more machinery and put more people out of work. You cannot demand more for a job than the job is worth.
Then you're making my point. And don't tell me it's coming back, because once we start making money on machines, we will not be making money on people. Hey, Steve.
Mr. Stacy.
Yes?
Walmart is looking towards, as they call it, a global economy. And you know that they're sitting, signed executive order about the North American Free Trade Agreement, which led to the downfall of manufacturing and businesses. And that's why I think Walmart is more like towards a global economy where, as you were saying, that you lost a lot of our manufacturing jobs, our mom and pop stores, and it's because of Walmart. Remember, Walmart, a lot of their businesses is because of the North American Free Trade Agreement. They were allowed to go into countries like China and others, like the situation in Vietnam. Walmart's probably these businesses with the Vietnamese people, Vietnam, took over South Vietnam and the Kimberley country. And, a lot of those people work and make low wages, they serve wages. So companies like Walmart, they feel they can get away with paying people low wages, and then they ship their products from those countries like China. So China is a communist country, but it's also trying to work towards being somewhat capitalist.
No, Steve. You on a roll for a minute there, but then you. They are capitalist of society. They just don't distribute the wealth because you are born into a class.
Yes.
No.
Do you know what Fox
is saying?
Steve.
A lot of people are saying in the Obama administration is trying to come similar like China. If that's where you and Jeff were.
That's not what you ain't never heard me say that. That's not what I said.
Steve, do you know what Foxconn is?
No, I don't.
Foxconn is the factory where they make iPhones. And you live in your apartment on the third floor, and you eat in the cafeteria on the second floor, and you go to work in the factory on the first floor, and you never leave the building. And you cannot leave the building ever. You're born there, you live there, and you die there. And people are committing suicide. They're throwing themselves off the roof of the place.
And Larry
and
is playing with his iPhone.
That's state capitalism.
Where is this guy? Oh, this must not be here in the United States.
No,
it's in China.
But so China's not going towards a capitalist. They are very, very money motivated, but they're definitely not a capitalist society where you can go and create your own wealth.
They are. China is headed towards a, for lack of a better term, a caste system.
They already have one, don't they?
No, caste is
not
India.
Not that's India.
But it will be. If you, as long as you're born into the correct family that is correctly politically motivated, you will be allowed to achieve wealth. And if you're not born into the correct family,
or married into the correct family,
or married into the correct family, you will never achieve anything other than living on the third floor, eating on the second floor, and working on the first floor. That is China of the future. And the problem is there are a lot of people in this country that believe that that is a great way to do business. A lot of very powerful people.
Well, they like the remember when North Korea's leader passed away? I mean, that our State Department, Hillary, they were giving the guy platitudes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about how good he was. Then somebody dies in a friendly country of ours, and we barely mention him.
Yeah,
but that's different.
Or like when Margaret Thatcher died, we send what?
The president didn't go, did he?
No.
Neither did Biden.
Neither did Biden.
Why?
They didn't have time.
At that point, I think the only one, who do we send? We sent Kerry, and Kerry wasn't officially Secretary of State then.
Was it Kerry?
I can't remember who we sent, but it was a low level. It was a snub in the face.
Yeah.
And then all that negative stuff come out about Margaret Thatcher, you know, who played her in that one movie, you know. Margaret Thatcher was a strong woman.
I worked with a guy that was in the Royal Navy when I was in the reserves. And he knew personally some of the Thatcher's bodyguards. And he said they were just wonderful, because their bodyguards lived with them. They lived in the basement of 10 Downing Street. And her husband would come down and play cards with them. I mean, anytime you saw her, he said she treated you with the utmost respect. You know, she was just a great lady. And anybody who knew her said she was a great lady.
Alabama, your mic is on.
Hey, Miss Tracy, I gotta go, man.
All right, go ahead, Alabama. So I'm just saying, Stix, I understand where, you know, but again, you can't. We have allowed this to happen, and it's happened through regulation, it's happened through laws, and it's happened because of somebody took advantage of what was going on. But you can't go back. You will not go back to that. And the you said this before. You've made my argument. But you said this before. You've heard that Henry Ford could not build a car today and start a car company.
No.
You've heard Bill Gates said he couldn't even start Microsoft again today.
Right.
You've heard Steve Jobs said that he could no longer – you could never create an Apple empire again. So what makes you think we can go back if you can't create the American dream as they've already shown?
Mark Levin's Liberty Amendments.
Mark Levin, what?
The book he wrote.
The book he just wrote, yeah.
Liberty
if
Amendment.
If we could do that, if we could get that accomplished, that would do it. But,
listen,
maybe they should turn it into
on,
a movie and have Oprah star in it, and then people would go see it.
Yeah, but
it is a good book.
But Tracy, you're right about the big boxes. I will agree with you. There are no more mom-and-pop hardware stores because you're going to go to Lowe's or Home Depot.
Why?
Well,
and actually, I'll tell you who's going to kick Lowe's behind.
Who?
Have you been in a Menards?
Up in Michigan, I did. But
there's one over in Maslin. That place is awesome. It may even put Walmart out of business. Because guess what? Oh, yeah. Because you can get groceries. You can get groceries and lumber at the same store.
Six.
I mean, you don't have to go anyplace else.
I tell you, there is. I won't. I mean, I go to Lowe's if I need to because it's cheaper. But if I'm just needing something, instead of going to Lowe's, I go to either Milligan's in East Liverpool. Because when you come through that door, they know you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's there. Hey, how can I help? You go to Lowe's and you ask some of these people, hey, what do you do for this or where is this at? They don't know.
Larry, you go to Lowe's. Let's be fair. You go to Lowe's and Home Depot.
Here's the problem.
And you ask them where the bathroom is, and you may not get the right answer.
Here's the problem that I have, because I do a lot of this stuff. My local hardware store carries Wheatland 2. Okay? It's three times what I can buy Chinese tube at, Chinese pipe, black pipe, at Lowe's. I can pay 20% more. I can pay 30% more. I can't pay three times.
And why do you think that is? Because the same model that Walmart has established, your other boxes like Lowe's and Home Depot, yes, they've all established it.
My local hardware store can't buy Chinese.
They can buy Chinese.
They just can't buy it at that
price. They can't buy it at that price.
That price.
Oh, they can buy it.
They don't carry Chinese. My local hardware store don't carry Chinese.
No, we're not talking about what they carry. We're talking about what they have. He can buy it, but he can't buy it at that price. Because it's one thing for me to go in and tell you I want 20,000 widgets and for me to say I want two dozen.
But I will go to my local hardware store. I mean, Milligan's is
I go over
amazing.
To, I go over to Camel
forever.
Hardware when I can.
Yeah.
But
they're
can,
there.
But
they take care of you. I'll pay the premium. I'm not going to pay, like Stick says, three times or four times the premium.
But
right?
I will pay a premium.
But I will
I
pay
mind.
A premium that, to go there for that local.
I use Leonard Hardware in Sebring, and I use Damascus Hardware in Damascus.
I like that one.
But
I've been there, too.
But when I've got a large project.
Yeah.
I can't pay three times.
And the reason why you can't pay three times is because they're not going to let them compete. That's what I'm saying. There you go. Case made. Case closed. That's what I'm saying. It's not about – I mean, yeah, we try to – but they can't live on –
So you're telling me an organization such as True Value Conglomerate
mm-hmm.
can't compete with
mm-mm.
Lowe's. Mm-mm. They don't have that. They don't have that many outlets to buy at that big a volume.
Right.
I disagree.
I know you do, but you have to go look at the numbers.
Yeah, I guess – I mean, that's just do the math.
They just can't compete. You can't – remember, if I have $1 million, I can take $1 million. I can crush somebody who only has a dime. You have to understand
but
that.
What I'm saying
my goal in business is to make sure that I crush every dime that's out there.
What I'm saying is an Ace or a True Value,
they don't have
the
it.
The organization has got to have as many
no.
as many outlets.
No. They don't have as many outlets. They don't have as much volume power, and they don't have as much foot space. It just doesn't work the same. Walmart has established they don't even hold on to their inventory like they should and or
that,
could.
That big shark there is Walmart. The
yeah.
little one in there is True Value.
And if I like you well enough, I'll let you stay open. But if I don't like you well enough, if I really want to crush you, I will. Because I have the power to do so. You're the one always talking about Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged. Same thing.
Walmart, True Value.
Pretty much. Shark, little fish.
That's a little shark. That's a bigger shark, and he swallowed that littler shark.
that's
Walmart.
Walmart.
Oh, so that's Walmart. That's Menards going to be on top of Lowe's here pretty quick.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
And I'll tell you what.
And Menards may not. You have to realize Menards has and they have a slow growing process. They're not trying to become Walmart.
I feel bad for that little shark, man. I mean, he got a hook in his mouth. And the rest of his body's in that bigger shark. I mean, I'm sorry for our listening audience. There's a thing up on the TV there, and there's a looks like a pretty decent sized shark, but he's in the mouth of a real big shark.
Hey, 506, your mic is on.
Good afternoon, back from the left coast, I see.
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome back.
It's good to be home.
Yeah. Just a quick word. You guys do deserve a pat on the back. I think your show has evolved, unlike some other shows. I won't mention the stations, but I really grow tired of people that call in and you know, have their own opinion. You know, you can have an opinion, but please, base it on some sort of fact, some sort of logic. And I see your steady guests there. Have really graduated from, you know, throwing out an opinion here or there. Yeah, they're really understanding. I mean, your discussion today is really hitting home on the mechanics of the problem with the economy. And so I applaud you. And I just hope maybe during the break, because we've suffered another blow to American workers, I try to alert people to this a year ago, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement that they're about to pass in Congress. If you want to really, I mean, you could do a whole show on that. You're talking the end of sovereignty, the end of governments, individuals and being able to sue the United States, the U.S. law not being the law of
the
land.
It's called the Pan-Pacific what?
Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP.
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
Take a look at that on Google, and it will frighten you. It really, if you do business in the U.S. or you purchase, like, water as a commodity under that, the U.S. Supreme Court is not the law of our land. There are special international tribunals now that sort of float around that are the ultimate deciders. It is a real mind-blower. It started with Bush, continued with Obama. They negotiated in secret. And it wasn't until they closed the deal about 6 months ago that a member of Congress couldn't even get into the negotiation. But if somebody would check that out, you know, maybe plug that in It'll scare you. It'll scare you. And they're about to vote. The Congress is about to pass that.
Mark, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Now, you know, from my understanding, Congress can't get along to do anything, but they tend to get along to do some real dumb stuff.
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
You know, they don't get along very well.
No, you're talking about the realities. They want us to you know, dicker among ourselves. But when it comes to the big money, without naming the source, you have no idea of – the average person has no idea as to how Capitol Hill works with lobbyists and money. And it's just incredible. You say, well, how could a trans-partnership agreement like that get passed when it's really against the U.S. interest? I mean, it's not even – it's a joke. Though the Congress and the president, they don't run this country. There are forces beyond their control that really put the pressure on, and these things slide right through. And I'll just leave you with one example you might want to talk about.
Wait a minute. Hold on. They slide through with a couple of amendments and addendums to it.
Oh, yeah. So
just to make sure I got that out there.
Right. So if somebody squawks, or, you know, these people know when they could squawk and get their amendment on and maybe get out of paying Social Security taxes for the rest of the, if you live in Montana or Wyoming, you know, like they did with the affordable health care, they know how to do it. But the amount of money and lobbyists and pressure is just totally unbelievable. And they go right through. I mean, you know, why would Bill Clinton pass NAFTA? That started with George Herbert Walker Bush. I mean, Bill Clinton, that was the first of the death knell to the American economy. Now we're the trade rules, we're touring the Far East. The labor's coming from China. And then it's going to go to Vietnam. And then it's going to go to Central America. Then it's going to go to South America before it comes back here. But this Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, and sticks with love.
I'm going to read up on that.
Yeah, it will scare you. You talk about a one-world government. There it is, and they're going to vote on it. And one little quick thing about your favorite guy, George Soros. You might have seen today Private Manning received 35 years in a sentence. On Huffington Post, they had a – this is where you have to read between the lines. They said that President Bush – and Dick Cheney, that we should take another look at their role in the torture network, seeing as Manning got all this time and these guys walked away from war crimes. The key thing in the article was this. The Human Rights Watch Group, which is the most extensive worldwide civil or human rights group, they're right in there with Amnesty International. They have come out and formally asked for a new investigation into the war crimes. Who finances 100% Amnesty International in the Human Rights Watch Group? George Soros. So you have what may be a movement. I mean, that's just like the president talking, believe me when I tell you. And why would Soros finance those things? Just a quick thing. One of the knocks against him, he would direct these people to cave in certain governments in Eastern Europe or wherever, and when they would get toppled for Human Rights Watch abuses, he would come in and buy industries and real estate. He'd buy it for, you know, a penny on the dollar as they collapsed. And so they always said, you know, you're not really interested in Amnesty International. You're using these as tools to wreck certain governments, and then you come in and you know, scrape up as they convert to capitalism or whatever. But having that statement come out from Human Rights Watch is just like Soros saying it, is just like the president saying it. But anyway, I throw that in the please.
I gotta go. I gotta take a break. I gotta go.
Look at that. Look at that trans-partnership agreement.
I am. Now then, I'll take a look at it and get some people on to talk about that. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM.
Nice.
We'll be right back.
My home, you got to have money. A new study shows many of us aren't making much more of it these days. The Economic Policy Institute says a college degree doesn't guarantee big bucks.
Wages have been flat for people, for those in business occupations, for those in the so-called STEM occupations, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
EBI's Larry Michelle. He could have gotten 90 years in prison. Instead, former Army intelligence analyst Bradley Manning was sentenced today to 35 years behind bars. ABC's Vic Ratner is in the courtroom at Fort Meade.
From here, Bradley Manning will be taken to the military prison at Fort Leavenworth in Kansas, where he will serve his term. A spokesman says that under military rules, he would be eligible for parole after he has served at least a third of his 35-year sentence. There are also two automatic appeals.
The leak to the website WikiLeaks was the largest in U.S. history. Army Captain Adel Hassan, the suspect in the deadly Fort Hood shootings, didn't mount much of a case at his trial today. He acted as his own attorney, said just two words, defense rests. David Cassidy may be singing the legal blues. The former teen heartthrob was arrested early today in upstate New York for felony driving while intoxicated. The Dow is down 58 points. The NASDAQ is off 11. This is ABC News.
She just looks that bowl squeaky clean. She loves Dynavite.
I've just tried this wonderful, catalicious Dynavite for cats.
The vitamins, the minerals,
got all the stuff in it that cats really like.
You don't even have to put food with the Dynavite. She will eat the powder right out of the scoop.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out because I'd seen the changes in my dog.
She is not scratching anymore. She's not chewing anymore. DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
Sammy, he's 13, 14 years old and is running around a little bit more. His coat is a little bit softer and shinier.
Justin's eyes sparkle more. He bats at stuff. He kind of jumps around.
Daisy and Spooky have a cat tree in my living room, and lately she's been climbing up to the top, jumping up there, and then she'll climb back down, and then she's right back up again.
It is just the best Dynavite for cats.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Want to get on the ground floor of a new business? Colorado legalizes marijuana on January 1st, and it's preparing to offer the first licenses to stores that will sell it.
Under the proposed rules, a ganjapreneur, as they are being referred to, would pay up to $5,000 just to apply to be in the recreational pot biz. Operational licenses cost up to $14,000. For those who want to sell both medical and recreational weed, the price would double. Why the high cost to apply? Screenings, the criminal background checks and residency requirements, and that goes for the so-called bud tenders as well, the people who man the counters, and then add fees and regulations by the local governments. Pot shops may not be ready by the new year. Larry Jacobs, ABC News.
The testing company ACT says just a quarter of this year's high school graduates who took the exam have the reading, math, English, and science skills they need to succeed in college or in a career. Company officials say the test may be harder, and more students who don't plan to go to college are also taking it. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Go on, sweetie. Jump to Dad.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Never play poker with a guy named Lucky. Never hit a pinata that has hornets coming out of it. Never wear a fanny pack. No, really, don't ever wear a fanny pack. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, tires, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $21.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Wow, look at her. She yours?
Yeah, my first.
Congrats. You're going to love every moment of it.
This is all just so new for me.
Here you are, sir. Your Subway Applewood pulled pork with extra pickles.
I'm just so happy.
Try the newest arrival at Subway, the new Applewood pulled pork. Tender pork and rich barbecue sauce bursting with sweet, smoky Applewood flavor on freshly baked bread. Get it before it's gone. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Kick things up at Subway this August with the Buffalo Chicken $6 foot-long special. Enjoy tender grilled chicken strips marinated in scrumptious buffalo sauce and topped with creamy ranch. Piled high with your choice of fresh veggies like juicy tomatoes and spinach, this flavor-packed favorite is still just $6 every day all August long. So get into Subway today for the Kickin' Buffalo Chicken $6 foot-long special. Subway, eat fresh.
Prices and participation may vary, plus applicable tax. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Additional charge for extras.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at AIWHealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. Today's open mic. Today is Wednesday, and I'm here with Six and Larry Long. Larry Long dropped in to say hi to us, and we're glad to have him here with us today. It is hump day. It's 7 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock here on WSOM, and the number is 347-945-5229. Hey, Alabama, your mic is up. Diva, your mic is on also.
Diva,
she's out there.
She's been pretty regular here lately. She must be feeling a lot better.
That's good.
I'm glad to hear her
voice.
That's
good. And Allie.
This is Alabama.
Alabama.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the last caller before you went to break just proves even further about what we were kind of talking about yesterday about the CFR. And I mean, they're doing what they want to do and not saying anything about it. So, you know, the George Soros thing is just proof that, you know, when we see someone on the news and he's a bad guy being painted a certain way as a dictator, you know, most dictators in the country are ones we've placed in countries are the ones we've placed there. And as long as they're allowing us to get the resources to do certain things, then they're not bad guys. But as soon as they start bucking against the system, their plane blows up or something happens. So, I mean, it's clear what's going
on. Don't forget Ron Brown was in an airplane accident with a bullet to the back of his head.
I thought it was in the top. But yeah.
I'm just saying you have to really, I mean, that is my best analogy of America and what happened. Ron Brown went down. He was the chief of staff of President Clinton. He went down in an airplane crash, and autopsy showed he had a bullet in the back of his head.
Well, I mean, Breitbart, the situation with Breitbart, the situation with the guy I think Alex mentioned yesterday about a congressman that tried to get rid of the Fed, and he was starting to bark a little loud, and they killed him. He was unsolved mystery. Come on.
Look at what they did to Reagan. I was it Volcker? Reagan was going to tear the Fed apart, and Volcker said, if you tear the Fed apart, I'm going to destroy the economy.
This is the thing that I feel like we as people can do is if and when a president tries to do that, you have to alert the people of the plan and what is going to happen and name names and who's going to do what. That's how I would do it. I would see, because when you get the information out, then it makes the person, when they do what they're doing. If you get on, if Barack Obama was to, by some chance, get up and say, yeah, Ben Bernanke is going to try to crash the dollar. I would like to. This is what's going on. This is where we are in America. This is what I want to do. But they threaten to do this. And this is, then that puts the ball in their court to have to do it. And I don't think, see, they have their hands in the lion's mouth, too. If they crash America, they're going to crash the world. I mean, literally, because everybody is on. So it's, It's almost a game of a bluff. It's bluffing
right
now.
You know what? It's really, you know, really, it's not about crashing America. It's really not. And we keep on looking at this as crash and burn. This is about reshaping America, mm-hmm. taking it out of what it used to be and making it into what we want, what they choose for it to be, and making everybody on a global society become a part of this one thought process, this one cohesive unit.
Well, that was the change that we were supposed to believe in. But,
right.
But I don't believe that when he said change, that the people
right.
really understood what China change he was talking about.
He said fundamental. Because remember, he said, I fundamentally change America.
Transform
America.
We don't know what fundamental transformation looks like in your head. And he never told a platform. He never told you what that lift would be.
But it was change.
And it has changed.
And if he would have told you his platform, I don't think that he would have been elected, Tracy.
Absolutely.
I'm just being honest.
Actually, if he had told you his platform, most folks wouldn't have understood it anyhow.
Well, they saw his platform and voted for him. So, I mean, I hate to
what
say
platform?
It, but he. Well, let's be honest. They saw his platform this time. And if you go back to 2012, last year, Barack, they saw what he was doing. And if you go back and look at what people were saying, they would say, I don't like Romney. I just don't like him. So I don't see it as a bad thing. I think people just chose not to educate themselves on the whole situation. And when they did, it was kind of like he has that God. It's a God thing with him. It's like they put whatever they want in him. Like, you know, everybody says God is on their side. Like, everybody thinks this is this and this. So it's the same thing. Like, with Barack Obama, it's almost like he had this deity of a sense. He was almost like a deity. So,
and he still is.
You can't beat that. You cannot defeat that type of
carrying out the other guy's ideas. You know, that's not a platform. You know, I mean,
but look at who we got the most liberal candidate of them all to run against him twice. If that don't tell you, and then they blame the conservatives when he lost. So if that doesn't tell you anything, then, you know, I think it's all in. It's a shell game to me. I think both of those guys were picked and elected by certain people. Get a chance to pick the president candidate.
That's a theory out there, the Bilderbergs or whatever, and those guys all make pilgrimages to the Bilderberg meeting. You know what I mean?
We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you can't cross the threshold unless you go to a meeting.
You got to belong to the
group.
You
got to get the a blessing.
They're all a member of the same clubs.
But wasn't this guy supposed to be different? Isn't that what
Who?
He said?
No, he's CFR.
Our POTUS right now.
Well, he was different. He is different because he provides a platform whereby you could really do some destructive things. That's what
but he's done everything Bush did. Actually, just took it on and amplified.
But then this guy's approval rating is still hovering around 48, 50 because of his mixed heritage.
Hold on, Alabama. The reason why his approval rating is hovering where it is. You have to understand, I'm a media junkie. We got to understand, when I talk about journalism, it's not like we're telling the truth and reporting the facts on what goes on in D.C. You know, I can spin whatever I want to make you believe, whatever I choose to make you believe, just by what I put on my afternoon news show and the talking heads.
Let me just ask this one question. How many presidents in the last 113 years have we had that did not graduate from an Ivy League school?
Not many.
Three.
I was going to say Ford went to Michigan.
Well, Clinton doesn't count. He was a Rhodes Scholar.
Okay.
What's that?
Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar, so he doesn't count.
Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. You had.
What does that mean?
You had. It's.
He went and studied at Oxford.
Oxford or Cambridge. In England. You had Johnson, Nixon, and Reagan. Those were the three in the last 100 years that did not come out of the Ivy League.
And the upper tier Ivy, because upper and lower.
Right. And I'm talking your Harvards and Yales.
Okay.
Columbia.
So what's your point?
I'm talking our presidents are selected for us. They're not elected.
That's not correct.
There's a small pool that are selected. And
out of that pool, you get to get elected.
That's, but they all, you know, they all.
Let's look. I mean, this is a good segue into the conversation that I wanted to have. Look at 2016 and what's coming up.
they're already trying to anoint Hillary on the.
Christie's lost his mind in New Jersey, so he just went off the creek bank on
yesterday.
Well,
Christie's probably going to be a nominee though.
No.
I doubt
that.
They're going to tell us Christie's the only guy that can win.
It's not about winning.
Okay.
It's not about Christie winning. Because remember, right now, if you look at John McCain and you look at Barack Obama, would there have been a difference in the presidency?
Probably not.
If you look at Romney, economically wise, you would see a difference. But outside of that, would you really see a big difference between Romney and Obama?
Not on certain issues, but economically.
Economically,
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Maybe on gay marriage, maybe.
Now let's look at what's going to happen in 2016. Do you really think Hillary Clinton's going to be the girl?
Yeah. They put the hit out on her already.
I mean, do you really? Republicans are trying to make it to where it's fair and balanced in television and the television shows and this documentary. But do you really think the Dems are going to put her up there? And they want a Clinton empire in there?
Yes.
And a wacky woman to be there?
I can see Hillary versus Jeb.
No, listen to what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. Do you really think the Democrats? See, we're not talking about the lay Democrats. We're not talking about the voting Democratic bloc. I'm talking about the infrastructure of the Democrat Party. Do they really want
Hillary
in office?
Yes. Hillary is the best chance for the Democrats to keep the White House.
I don't know. I heard they're going to run Cory Booker.
She is the voter's favorite.
No, listen to what I'm saying, Diva. Diva, you're
going
to vote for Democrats.
What's the difference between her and Barack Obama, though?
The only reason why Barack Obama beat out Hillary Clinton for the nomination was the war on their positions on the war in Iraq. That is why Obama surged over Hillary when it came
Diva.
To
Yeah,
because he was black and
no
he spoke
one.
Well. Go ahead.
South Carolina really was his turning point.
North Carolina wasn't.
You know,
when he went south and black folks found out that this black man really
had
could win,
yeah.
And they swung that paradigm, and their voting bloc said, woo, yes, we can, and they just swung it, and then she went down there, and her whole, because remember,
she cried.
The reason, no, this is before she cried. The reason why Bill Clinton had such a power, and Hillary was so endeared because he was the first black president anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And we just knew that pendulum of black folks was going to swing towards Hillary, and here come Barack Obama. And Oprah Winfrey went to Iowa and said, Barack Obama! And next thing you knew, the pendulum swung, and he caucused, and they had this machine going out, and Hillary Clinton slapped him upside the head and found all these black folks wasn't in her back pocket, and she had lost.
You remember back then, South Carolina was a swing. Because he won Iowa,
yes.
He won out and lost in New Hampshire.
Yes.
South Carolina was a turning point, and that's when you saw the racist Democrats
absolutely.
Come out. I mean, Bill said something.
Yes, you did.
Then Rendell said something. Even Strickland jumped
no,
on.
No, don't forget about the one down – who's the president of the Senate? Come on.
Harry Reid.
He said he's
dressed
clean.
He's clean and well-spoken.
There you go.
Yeah.
Go ahead, South Carolina. Yeah.
Listen, I witnessed it personally. This place was Hillary tight, and all of a sudden, I mean, even in my church I was going to, I mean, Hillary was a thing, and then almost over a week's time, it became Barack Obama.
Well, y'all forget that Hillary bought her own campaign back.
Diva, let me tell you what happened. There was an effort to show or to get black people to get behind this man, and that's exactly what happened. And then the NAACP was in on it, the Urban League, all the organizations went behind this guy. All the black organizations lined up behind this guy. But trust me, Obama didn't have a whole bunch of supporters in South Carolina until that point.
I know Obama came out of nowhere. Well, I've been an Obama fan since 2004.
Diva, Jim Clyburn and John Spratt were both in Hillary's corner.
That he was going to be the nominee.
Flip-flop.
The whole black caucus was in Hillary's corner.
Jim Clyburn was doing speeches. Jim Clyburn was doing speeches for
She probably doesn't know who Clyburn is. You may have to tell her who he is down in South Carolina.
Yeah. And don't forget,
Jim Clyburn,
Jesse Jackson wanted to make him
Congress
not a man anymore.
But that was afterwards.
South Carolina was the turning
point. No.
Listen to what I'm saying. We're talking about the pendulum when it swung. Because it was Hillary was the heir apparent
right.
for 2008.
Right.
By the time we get to Jesse Jackson and all them down the road, that was just off cuff.
That wasn't part of the swing.
No. This is the beginning of the primaries.
Yeah, because that was the third primary.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the third. Yeah, South Carolina was the third. He won.
This is before she cried. This is before all that.
Yeah,
this is before Bill Clinton started talking about fairy tales and all that kind of stuff.
And the final nail in Hillary's coffin was when Bill made a plea to Kennedy. He went out to Kennedy, and what did he say to Kennedy?
I don't know what he said. I just know.
He said, "Come on now, Ted. You know this guy would have been carrying our luggage."
Bringing us coffee
and carrying our luggage. That's exactly what Bill Clinton said to him. But it was after South Carolina is when that everybody was like, "Oh
well,
man,
you know, Bill Clinton's mentor. You know, his mentor was real heavy in the Klan. So I'm not shocked. I mean, the guy that they lost. I mean,
I got a question.
So I'm not shocked at all.
If his mentor was real heavy in the Klan, and you know, birds of a feather flock together, then why are we so in love with Hillary?
The guy was voted all the way up until like the late 70s. Black folks was voting for him. I mean,
my question was, if we know this, then why are we still in love with Hillary?
Because they don't
think the GOP is racist.
I forgot about that.
The GOP is racist. I'll go with the racist.
Y'all are forgetting. Black people overwhelmingly loved President Clinton during his presidency. They thought he was a wonderful president. They thought Hillary was a wonderful first lady.
Let me tell you why.
And they thought she would. Hold on, no.
Steven.
You don't need to tell me why. Steven,
we know why she's going to win the Democratic nomination. But what we're telling you is, listen, Diva, I'm saying this to you on the 21st of August, 2013. We are predicting something that is going to be approximately 3 years out. I promise you that will be what we know today. There's going to be a whole lot of stuff that's going to change in the next 3 years. That's going to probably change the dynamic of Hillary Clinton as well as anybody else. The media
Obamacare is going to kick in after the midterms, so it's going to really kick in fully. Then it's going to be harder because they're going to eventually have to kick in.
It ain't going to kick in. You know why? They're going to bounce this Obamacare until they can go blame on a Republican for trying to enforce it.
Why hasn't the president done away with the individual mandate yet?
Well, give him a minute.
They're not going to do away with the individual mandate because the individual mandate option, single payer. They want that individual mandate to get to that point, so they're not going to do away with
single payer. So can I say this? They're not going to execute Obamacare until they can blame a Republican for screwing it up.
They've already tried that.
Yeah.
They've already tried that. Tracy, I got in an argument with a guy the other day that's saying that the only reason Obamacare is failing is because Congress won't work together.
That has nothing to do with it.
It's already passed. It's already passed.
They're trying to fail the execution.
The person that's in charge of it.
Congress don't have nothing to do with it. Once it's passed, it's over.
What'd you say, Alabama?
I'm confused.
I'm saying it's already been passed and it's over. Like the discussion,
Alabama, we're talking about execution. You know, you got to roll it out. Right now, it's just 1,800
well, different
pages.
States, different states don't want to put these centers up where you can come in there and get you pick or whatever.
But states have the right. Alabama.
They see something.
It's bigger than that.
Here, Alabama, certain states had the option of letting the government set up the exchanges
or the federal government
set it up or handle it internally. But you still have to do it. I mean, Ohio's gearing up for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every state is gearing up for it. What we're saying is the rollout of Obamacare. October 1st, every state is supposed to be up, whether it's a federally run exchange or a state run exchange, be up and running and ready to start enrolling people So in January 1st, it's ready. And guess what? There, not one state, federally run or state run, is ready because it's a constant. You know,
that's
if you don't roll
true.
Out a
there's
program
a
like
that.
Hold on, Diva, do you understand that the employer mandate has been delayed for implementation for a whole year?
So they can get past the midterm.
We're not talking about the mandate. You just mentioned that the exchanges, all the states are not ready, but that's not true because a good chunk of the states are ready, will be ready by October. A lot of them, some of them are even ahead of deadline. Like if they can roll up, they
would.
To
ask a question. I wanted to ask Diva a question, if you guys didn't mind. I would love to hear her answer. Diva.
Yes?
All right. And this is kind of off the subject, but I just want to hear your answer. If you were not on government or whatever, getting any government assistance, and you had $2 million, right? And the government has you have to pay, let's just say, half of that in taxes. Would you pay half in taxes, or would you go get a good tax attorney and an accountant and try to pay $200,000? If the accountant can get you down to $200,000, what would you do?
No, I would pay. If I'm taking a serious deductions, like things that I know that I have used or utilized that warranted deductions, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to go find an attorney to get me out of paying what.
No. That's legal. No. Don't look at it.
No,
I'm just saying.
I know it's legal, but just because it's legal don't mean that I should do it. And that's how I've always been. I've always been the type of person where I'm going to do what's right and fair no matter what.
Well, you're in a 5%.
No. Because you know what? Romney did the same thing, and we demonized him anyhow.
We demonized, yeah. He paid more
than he's supposed to.
In his
most black people around here.
He paid more than what he was owed to take.
The point I was trying to make was there is just as much fraud for people making $20,000 a year around here claiming 5 and 6 dependents, lying about using fake Social Security numbers just to get taxes back, as there are people doing what I just described legally and illegally. So it's not that the wealthy are selfish and the poor are somehow more virtuous because they just don't have the money because they're unselfish. They don't have the money because they may have bad spending habits, or they believe in paying 50% taxes. Just depends.
What was that? They found one address where they got several million dollars in tax refunds because they had claimed multiple Social Security numbers, multiple dependents, multiple.
There was this one guy doing taxes in my whole town. Had a line around the corner.
Yeah, that's going to go on forever. Here's the thing:
he was doing people in prison, getting their family members to do stuff.
Wait a minute, hold up. Go ahead, Larry.
Here's the thing that will show you: this sequester, when that came out, right? That was supposed to be Armageddon. Do you know all the lead up? All the agencies said that they were going to have to furlough all these people, and it didn't happen because guess what? They found, and it was not a reduce in spending. They still spent more in this sequester than they did the previous calendar or fiscal year. They just didn't spend as much as the budget was.
Well,
we shut down the tours to the White House when we go on vacation. It works.
Larry, you're a financial guy. Explain to me, why would the president turn down a $90 million donation from private people to keep the White House tours going?
Because he was using it as a propaganda tool. I mean, that's blatantly obvious.
So when we go back,
Stevie,
lead the mic up.
I will. All right.
Hello?
Hey guys, this Alex right here. I'm just listening to y'all.
Well, Alex, how would you do if I ask you that question about the $2 million? You get $2 million, and you have to pay taxes. You can either pay $1 million in taxes, or you would get an attorney and an accountant and pay $200,000. Which route would you take?
I think I would try to pay the least amount of taxes possible.
Okay.
So, you know, whatever that, you know, legally, I would do whatever that's legal to pay the least amount of taxes possible. I mean, and I have a very good accountant that does that for me. I mean, she's very expensive, but the money that she saves me, you know what I'm saying, it's more than the taxes I would have been paying. So, yeah, that's what I do.
So do you think that somehow the wealthier people are somewhat more selfish than other lay people that don't make as much, or their employees? Are they more selfish, or is it just a person-to-person thing?
No, I think it's just what I found, the fundamental difference, and I don't know really wealthy people, but I know people that don't. I know a couple people that don't have to work again, and some people who, you know, have a few million dollars, whatever, and you know, so they're doing pretty good for themselves or whatever. And the fundamental difference that I know between your regular middle class people and people who are, you know, who have money, is just their philosophy about money. And it goes back to, you know, like that book, Richest Man in Babylon. It's like, you know, if you're going to make a dollar, then you want to make sure that you keep your money. But most people, they don't think about keeping their money. They think about spending their money. And so they put their money, you know, wealthy people just have a different philosophy about money. They say, I'm going to put my money to work because I don't want to lose my money. I want to keep my money. But most people
I think part of that is having an attitude like you just had about taxes. I think that's part of it, because that not only is it government, you have lawyers coming to get your money. So, you know, it's just other ways, you know, tax shelters to protect yourself. So it was just something I was reading about last night, and I just thought about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is that a lot of people think that you got to have all this money to – you need to have money to there is a certain threshold. Like, you need money to make money, but you don't need a lot of money to make money. Or you know, really, wealth from – and this is from everybody that I know. It comes from – you have to save. It really comes down to personal discipline, self-discipline to save your money, to spend less than you earn. I mean, with my wife and I could tell you, we set up our bank accounts where, like, people have overdraft protection, well, you know, for their checking account. We turn that crap off.
Yeah, you know, I do too.
Like,
yeah.
The first thing that we do at the beginning of the month is set aside is we dump, you know, a certain percentage of our income into the savings account, so that, and if we happen to overspend, then you know what, if you at the store, it's going to get declined, and this and you
yeah.
know that's and that's what you do, and you save first. But most people spend first and try to save later, and then they say, well, I never have enough money to save. I'm never saving. And that's because you have to change the mentality. You save first, and really it makes you look at your bank account and make sure, okay, well, I got this amount of money for gas. I'm going around here and there, because you've already put that money away that you're saving. And really, you want to each month, you want to save more and more until where –
Let me ask you a little question then. So you look at the housing bubble, right? And it, this is just something I said, and I got in a big argument with somebody about this. I said that the banks are guilty just as much as the people that sign that paperwork is guilty. I felt like the people that sign those mortgages, knowing full well what the deal was, shouldn't be. It's like, and it's like no one wants to hold the people accountable for wanting more and more and more, because, you know, we in America want to live, you know, high on the hog, and we don't want to have to, you know, we want to live high on more than what we really bring in. So I feel like that's really part of it.
But if someone could get more house, I mean, the way they spun that was, you could get more house at a very cheap rate, at a very low rate, but what they fail to tell you, what most people fail to think of, most people fail to plan for the future. Most people only think about right now. So with those subprime mortgage rates, nobody was thinking, well, okay, my rate is 4.5% right now with a low APR of maybe 4.9%, But what if something happens and my rate jump up to 12% or jumps 8%, 10%? Then my mortgage is going to go from 3 to 1,100. Nobody was thinking that. And the way the banks were spinning it was making it so good. Because even when I asked that question, they were like, oh, that's likely not going to happen. The stock market is doing so well. I'm the type of person where I'm like, you don't know the future. Anything can happen, but most people don't.
But Diva, if you were responsible enough not to sign that paperwork, then the people that sign those mortgages should be responsible enough if they get foreclosed on. It shouldn't be just, okay, they made a fool out of me. If you sign a contract and don't read it, that's your fault.
I'm not saying that they're not, that no, both parties should be held accountable. Because
nobody wants to blame the people. Everybody wants to blame the bank. I'm like, the banks did it too. Yeah. True enough, we all know about the bankers. We go in on them every day. But the people wanting a microwave, live it, I want it now lifestyle is bigger, is just as much the problem too.
But
exactly.
But here's something that Alabama said that kind of tweaked my interest there. He said something about rich people being selfish. And
I don't think so. I'm just saying that I think it's everybody is selfish on a regular. It just depends on the person.
I think
right,
it's people.
But
certain people,
no matter they're rich or poor
or middle class, certain people have a tendency to be selfish.
See, here's the thing. If I want to keep more of my money, that's not selfish. That's not selfish at all.
No, it's not.
But when you thought of your way. Here's my thing. This is how I look at it. I've always been a collective person. I've always been the type of person where if I raise money, that if somebody was near me, they didn't have any money, they didn't do anything to contribute to me getting any money, I'm going to share with them, period. Because I just think it's all around better if we share. So that's just
my
mindset.
If
me paying taxes can help somebody out, if me donating money or donating something can help somebody out regardless of the situation, I'm going to do it.
Diva, you do know your taxes goes to pay just the interest on the debt, and that's it. You're not helping anybody by paying taxes, income taxes. You do know that, right? That's just paying the interest on the debt that they're spending, that the money on the debt that we're borrowing. That's all that is.
But what are we borrowing for? We're borrowing money to pay for a lot of things that are in the pot.
Not just that we're borrowing. No. If we take our budget and look at, well, okay, like the education, that's property taxes. Military spending is business taxes. Gas is roads. A lot of the taxes that you pay when you spend pays for our government. The other stuff, these things that they're doing that they don't tell you, 90% of it is a shadow government. We don't know what they're doing. So that's, I don't even think it's like they say it is. I hate when someone says, okay, you're selfish and I'm going to go vote to have them take something from you at gunpoint because you're selfish so they can give it to me.
But it's
then who's
not
selfish? Who's really selfish?
It's not gunpoint. It's not.
Oh, it's
gunpoint.
If I deny the IRS, they'll kick my door in and take what they want.
Yeah,
that's the government.
You never owe the IRS. They will come and take your stuff at gunpoint.
Okay, but then you could choose not to work.
so you're telling me I can't do something for myself in life?
I'm just saying, does that make sense or does it make right? No, it's not. But the fact is, you do have a choice in the matter. You either choose to work or you choose not to work. That's just like with anything in life.
That's not right. So you're telling me I can't choose to work to take care of my family?
You can take care of your family.
Now the weight on the
government?
The government has to take care of them.
No. It's not about the government. There are plenty of people who have gone off the work grid and are not living on the government grid. I seen a documentary where there was a couple who basically
banks, you can't borrow money. You can't borrow money unless you got tax returns. I mean, they got it all intertwined.
Yes, there can be a way that you can live without working and government help. You are not going to have the quality of life that you want. But
let me get this straight. So if my kids go to a free education school, then that gives the government the right to come at gunpoint and take whatever they want from me.
You're not.
That's your logic.
taxes just because your kids go to a public school. That has nothing to do with it.
Well, I'm just saying, if I drive down the roads, if I have firemen or police in my neighborhood that you're telling, that's what you just said.
If you're utilizing the very things that you don't want your taxes to pay for, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, okay, but I'm talking about income tax.
Okay.
Everything that the government spends is not.
I'm back. Say hello. Yes. Say hello. Stop.
Oh.
Hello. Stop. Next week we're going to be at the Cancel Fair. Because I wasn't on the internet. And so those of you who are out there that are listening, next week we want you guys to be prepared from noon until 3. We're going to be broadcasting live from the Cancel Fair. It is the largest fair in the state of Ohio.
One of the largest in the country.
Yeah,
it used to be. Remember, who was the weather guy from the Today Show? Used to come out every year. Willard Scott. Used to come to the Canfield Fair every year because it was the largest county fair in the country.
Well, I'm just telling you all now. I'm going to try to get some T-shirts for us or something that says Tracy and Friends and WSOM. We'll design something.
Canfield Fair is larger than Ohio State Fair.
No. Well, it's the largest county fair in the state of
Ohio. I think it's the largest than Ohio State Fair.
Yeah, it's
I haven't been out.
No,
State
I'm
fair.
Sorry. I've been to both, and I find that hard to believe.
Hey, but David, did you go to the entire Canfield Fair?
Yeah. It ain't that hard
to
walk
around.
Did
you go see the antique tractors?
Yeah. We used to do all that stuff at the Canfield Fair.
Okay. All right. Because a lot of people never make it off the Midway. Tracy's never seen the oil well.
No. And I've been out there when nobody's out there but me.
They got an oil well at the Canfield Fair.
If you
it's really
say
pretty
so.
Cool.
If you say so, let me tell them to do it. Let me make sure. Never, I'm talking to myself. Okay. So,
so what?
I don't know.
You're giving me this blank stare.
Hey, I haven't heard from South Carolina. Have they let you say anything?
Not much.
So I'm going to let you go for it for a few minutes because, you know, between Alabama, you know, sometimes we won't let other people talk. Hey, Alex, your mic is on if you want to say anything.
Diva in Alabama, I tell you what, that's your match, Diva, because you cannot outtalk this man.
I know.
But yeah, Tracy, the sun finally showed up today. It is
did we ask you
in
that?
South Carolina. No, you didn't ask me, but I tell you what came along with the sun, the 90-degree weather. So,
did we ask you about that?
No. Why y'all get so offensive when I tell you how beautiful the weather is in South Cass?
I ain't ask about the weather in South Cass. I don't ask you about weather nor food. There's a reason. I just don't want to know.
Oh, goodness. You just tripped.
Because... Our weather's pretty
Southern
nice
California.
Today. Hey, if you guys watched Rosalie and Al's or the Jet Jackson when we were kids on Disney,
he died.
They say suicide. That's what they're saying. It looks like a planned suicide.
Yeah.
How do you become that successful? And how do you what?
Who killed who?
Have you ever seen the black guy on? On Rizzoli and Isles. Lee Thompson? Lee Johnson.
Yeah.
Well, I don't watch that show.
Or did you ever watch Jet Jackson, the little black kid?
Did you hear about what happened in Oklahoma?
What happened in Oklahoma? Oklahoma, where the wind.
The Australian baseball player, he was here going to college. He was out taking a jog. Three kids come by and shoot him in the back. And when they asked him, they said they were bored.
Ooh, let's go out and kill somebody.
A 15, 16, and 17-year-old.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, it's so bad that down in Australia, their tourism minister is recommending his people not visit the United States.
Are you trying to tell me they got bored one day and just wanted to just go out and start picking people off?
That was what they said.
Yeah.
And
the thing is,
South Carolina, let me ask one question so I can say thank you. Is it they were all white, right?
No,
the boy shot was.
Thank you, Jesus.
Somewhere.
One of them were.
Hold on. There wasn't a black kid in the mix, was it?
All three of them were black.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, it was two.
And the Australian was white.
Oh, man.
And one white kid.
The white kid got shot.
No, all three of the young men were black.
Oh.
No, they were not. They showed a picture of them.
Diva, I don't know what you've been looking at.
All three of them. They're on TV right now.
James Edwards Jr.
Oh, he's fine. Hold on.
No, I mixed. Was she right?
No, that middle guy's mixed.
They killed. Okay, they went in Oklahoma. They killed him.
Wait a minute. So that means he's a white black, like Zimmerman was a white Hispanic.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Man, that little boy don't look white. I mean, that little boy don't look mixed. That little boy look white.
He looks as white as Larry Long does.
He looked just like me, Diva, except he had hair.
I don't know.
Did you have hair when you were 17?
Yeah, I had an afro.
No, he was. There were two black kids in a mix. He looked like he might be biracial, Diva.
Yeah,
I think his last name was Luna or something.
He looks like he might be biracial.
Yeah.
Cause his hair is a little bit thick.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, at 17, you should be in school, right?
School hadn't started yet. That's what they were talking about. They were bored because they were getting ready to go back to school. And I think this happened over the weekend. Am I correct?
Yeah.
I think school started Monday. So this was over the weekend. They were bored, and they decided that for the fun of it, they were going to shoot somebody, and they did, and they killed him.
And in Oklahoma, they can try a 13-year-old as an adult.
I don't care if you can try them as my question is, I'm telling y'all, all y'all need to do is give me a 2x4 and a shot. Hold on.
I know.
I have two shotguns on my home.
All I need is a 2x4 and a shotgun.
In the safe. There's another gun.
That's what all. Larry, I can do. I can do miracles with a shotgun. You stand in the corner with the shotgun and give me a 2x4. I promise you, I can solve all of the crazy kids in America.
Well, there was a thing that I saw, and I think it was in Iowa, that was even more profound. There was an escapee from a medium security prison, but he had a gun with him, broke into a home of elderly gentlemen, 72, and I think his wife was 70, held them for about 4 hours with that shotgun. Long story short, the guy goes upstairs, was rummaging through some stuff, left the shotgun. The old man got a hold of it and shot him dead right in his house.
Absolutely.
Yes, he did.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now, that stands your ground
All I need is a shotgun and a 2x4. You stand with the shotgun, give me a 2x4. By the time I get done wailing on them with this 2x4, they will be caught. It's called correction.
Yes.
I don't understand. That's crazy. Do you know how bored we were growing up?
This is Lord of the Flies stuff.
I don't remember being bored. We always invented stuff. I mean,
yeah. Even when we invented something, we wouldn't go down the street and shoot somebody.
No.
And the last thing you wanted to do was tell your mom you were bored because she's going to find something.
Find something for you to do. Yeah. Hey, Dad, I'm bored. We'll get that sickle out and go cut that hillside.
Yeah, here's a shovel.
We didn't have weed whackers back then. It was a sickle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
grass whip. Remember a grass whip? Yeah, we had a grass whip.
Oh, man. When you trim the yard, it wasn't no trimmer. They didn't have, you know, it was
a little scissors
thing.
On your hands and knees.
And you get calluses in your hand. Oh man. Hey, 518, your mic is on.
What's going on, Tracy and friends? How you guys feel out there?
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm listening, and I'm really concerned because not only do we have killings going on. Tracy, you brought up the Lee Thompson guy, Hollywood celebrity guy. I think nobody remembers him, at least it didn't sound like anybody remembered him. The Jet Jack, everyone from that, Tracy, I remembered him from a TV show called Flash Forward. And on this particular TV show, he played a detective, but at this the end of his character, he committed suicide.
Wow.
It's concerning to me because, you got the Oklahoma boys, they're bored, but now you have Hollywood. And Hollywood, they go through their own struggles where, I guess, attempting to live up to a lifestyle, the pressure that they have, the demand that they have on their lives, the demand that they put on other people's lives. it's concerning to me because he was young. He was young just like these boys in
Oklahoma.
He's only
29 years old.
Yeah, but not as young as the boys, so young. And you wonder, I'm sorry, you guys probably hear my background noise, I'm driving. You wonder what's going on in the head of our youth today. What is it that they're under the impression of that I've got to do this? What's going on? Because we're losing. It's safe to say we've lost them. The ones that are still alive, you can't talk to them intelligently because they know everything.
I'm on the hand.
Well, the problem is we've told them that they know everything, and our problem is, in my house, I didn't know nothing until, and as a matter of fact, I'm not quite sure if I know anything today when it comes to parents. I mean, we didn't have an opportunity to know anything. I mean, hold on.
I mean, we've talked about this before, Tracy.
Yeah.
Those boys, and I, if you go back to, and it's sad to say, but if you go back and probably check those three boys there.
They don't have a dad.
They probably had
single family home.
Back when I was growing up, 70% of African American households had a male and female in the house.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's reversed itself today.
And that's a problem.
That's
a problem.
I'm just saying it's a problem. I'm not giving you an excuse. I'm saying it's a problem. The caller's talking about what's wrong with these kids. That's what's wrong. We would have never, and my brother and I would have never even contemplated anything like that for fear of my dad.
It would have never crossed our mind.
Yeah, it would never crossed our mind because I was.
You grew up in a single parent house.
Yes.
I was never that crazy.
Hold on. But when you're looking at young men and it's perpetual, remember, we're talking about generational single family homes. We're not talking about that you're the first single family home in your generation. You're talking about your grandmama was single, your mama's single, your great grandmama was single, and now there is no male influence. And now you don't really have, and that does make a difference.
It absolutely makes a difference, and I'm not indicting because I know a lot of single mothers
out there getting it done. They get it done, but that's a difference.
But if you look at the statistics, and you know Bill Cosby talked about it and was railed and demonizing. But now Obama has said the same thing and we're embraced.
But that's something different.
Yeah, you know what I mean. But you ask for why, and I think that's what it is with the male. I know there was a certain time when I was growing up, maybe 13, 14, that mom's whoopings didn't matter anymore. They didn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But when she said, wait till your father got home, that took on a whole new meaning with my brother and I.
Yep,
an entire different meaning.
Hold on, wait a minute. Go ahead, Sticks.
Yeah, I used to tell my mom all the time, that didn't hurt. You want to hit me again? Go right ahead.
You said it out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, we knew that.
And she would.
No.
Well, she tried. I mean, we said the same thing.
I don't know. Everybody comes from a different house. All I know is there were moms out there that boys, 15, 16, 17-year-old boys, were scared of. I can't talk on the ones that weren't scared.
Right. That was then. The difference is now. Parents don't have the same control over their household that they once had, even in two-family homes.
Mm-hmm. Because then if you do try to discipline your kid, don't do it out at Walmart or somewhere like that.
You go to jail.
You're going to go to jail.
I mean,
in the school.
Absolutely.
The school used to discipline.
School, because at one time there was a parent-school partnership, and that's no longer there.
Right. It's the parents dropping the kids off, say, educate them and deal with it.
You deal with it, and then when they come home, I try to deal with what I deal with. But there's no there's no cohesiveness in discipline.
I'm just going to tell you, my father, and I've talked about this on air before, and I'm not trying to put my father down, but he's a functional illiterate. But if the teacher called and said, Mr. Long, Larry, Eric, and Sean had did this, there was no questioning that teacher. He was digging in that butt.
Mm-hmm. No.
and you was going to, you know, I mean, that's just the way it was, but that's not how it is now.
Let's talk about the two Oklahoma boys. Let's talk about Lee Thompson. Now, the Oklahoma boys killed somebody. Lee Thompson killed himself. There's a dilemma here, guys.
But, Rick, again, it's all from the same demon.
Okay, Trey, that's where I'm getting at.
Death is death. no matter whether it comes by you killing. Because remember, you have to understand, people killing someone else is a death as well as someone killing someone else. What's this? What y'all showing me? Where'd it go?
They have a picture of the one kid. I don't know if it was on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
He's sitting there with it. Would look like
holding a rifle.
Holding a rifle.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with holding a rifle.
I mean, we shot guns when
we were
little.
Ain't
nothing.
They're showing me a picture on the Blaze where the kid's holding, you know, they're holding a rifle.
Oh, it's a video.
It's a video.
Okay. Is that him?
Yeah.
That's one.
And
showing the gang.
But again, we don't, when we talk about gun ownership, there was a responsibility that came with gun learning that you didn't play with. And you wouldn't film yourself holding a rifle and going down the scope throwing gang signs because you had someone teaching you something totally different. The mindset of our children are totally gone. I mean, they lost their mind.
Tracy,
yes, South
Carolina. Have you seen that post I put on my page with the little kid?
Which one?
He's talking about he doesn't like white people, but the language that comes out of this kid's mouth is absolutely unbelievable. You couldn't play it on air. And this is a 7-year-old kid. It is unbelievable.
And he gets away with it.
And he gets away with it.
That's no difference than with the kids in Walmart be saying to their parents and how they treat them and how they talk to them, and the mother just sits there and just don't talk to me like that or does nothing about it. Just so disrespectful.
But there are more.
The fact of the matter is, it's a matter of respect. Some kids are raised to be respectful of their parents. Others, kids aren't.
Hold on, guys. Hey, wait a minute. Yeah,
is
Alex.
That real money?
I just want to say real quick, you know.
Them's real Benjamins right there.
Part of the reason why people don't, you know, I've seen the same thing in Walmart, but people are afraid to go to jail now. Because if you discipline your kids, the people call the police. And I've actually had a Walmart clerk actually say, you know, you can't, because you know how when your kids get getting older, they test you, they're good at home, and they try and test you when you're in public, and you know, so my 5-year-old, I snatched him up real quick, and you know, and the lady's like, well, you can't hit, you know, you're not allowed to hit your kid or whatever, and I just gave her a look like I was about to hit her. If she walked away, you know, and that was the end of that. And my son never acted out again in Walmart, and that was the end of it, you know. So I kind of think that people need to, you know, parents need to take a stand with their children, you know, and really assume responsibility for this, and really, you know, they can't let just the government influences, you know, it's just too much. Just intrusion in our lives, and parents really need to just say, you know what, we're going to do what's best for our kids. This is my responsibility, and kick their butts when they get out of line. That's just my opinion.
Let me say it this way: I've done my dirt in my time, but in the dirt that I've ever done, there was always a fear of actually having to go home. That's why you ran away from home, because going home was like, oh, my God, I'm going to die.
Please take me to jail. Just don't take me to mom's house.
If you take me to jail, there are bars between mom and me.
Yeah.
But, you know, something's wrong. I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. This is why I tell everybody.
Blast outside the house. Buy shotgun. Buy shotgun. You don't need a machine gun. You don't need 30 rounds. Buy a shotgun. Buy a double-barrel shotgun. And you don't need a flamethrower.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Oh, is she on break now?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Where you been, Rick?
Oh, man, I'm still listening. just been tied up with other stuff, but I'm listening.
Okay. I got somebody to run you off or something.
No. I still running to Jeff all the time. Me and Jeff have our run-ins all the time.
Yeah. So, Diva, do you spank your child?
Spank? We don't use the word spank in our household. We use something else. My daughter, I'll tell you right now, my daughter calls me crazy because she know I'll be on her at the drop of a hat. I've been disciplining my daughter since she was maybe two.
Diva, that's a politically correct answer. You sound like you're about to curse, and I thought you were a Christian.
because of that discipline, she gives me no problems inside the house and outside the house. So.
Okay, it sounds like you was about to say, I'm going to work that out. Excuse me. That's what it sounds like you was about to say. And I thought you was a Christian.
A kid, they were called beatings. They weren't even called... And I came from a single mother. So the stuff that they talk about now, I'm like, and a majority of my family, now I know I have young men in my family who came from single mothers whose fathers were not there. Some of them went the wrong way, some of them didn't. They didn't commit the acts that they did because there was no father in the home. Because, trust me, their mom put that. They committed it because they got caught up in a lifestyle. And that's why these young men do the things they do. I don't think it's so much more so as mother, father being in a home, because then you look at the people who do commit crimes and they come from established backgrounds, middle class backgrounds, and they have a two-parent home.
The likelihood of a child from a single-parent home being involved in that, in crime, you'll find it's very high. I mean, if you ask the guys in prison, how many of them are single parent family, I would be interested to know how many of them would say I am.
I think you have to look at the type of crime because you got to look at the statistics, because if a young man in the inner city gets caught smoking weed, say he's hanging around somewhere and gets caught smoking weed, 15, 16, gets caught smoking weed. In any city, they're going to arrest him. If he's in the suburbs, more than likely, small town community like where I live, they're going to call his parents. If he's getting caught spray painting, they're going to call the parents. So I don't think it's more so as, well, most. I think it has more to do with the fact of where they live and the type of crimes, because you got white kids, or I'm not going to say white kids, but you got kids in the suburbs who they don't have a murder rate out here, but the other type of crimes that they're committing is ridiculous. Theft and burglary in the suburbs. I can't even leave my garage door open.
Alice, I was going to make this point, then I'm going to mute my mic, but I was just going to say that as a child, when your father grabs you, there's a difference. When you get about 10, you start getting a little muscle. A woman can beat you, and if you're 5, I was like 5'10", it didn't really bother me as much. My dad grabbed me a couple of times, and it was traumatic. When a man grabs a child, it's just different, and there's a such thing as a father being in the house, but he's not there. He's really kind of gating his responsibility. So just because you come from a two-parent household, look at Johnny Manziel. He's running crazy all over the country, and the parents, instead of picking up the phone and calling him, they complaining in some news story. If he was my son, I'd pick the phone and call him, tell him to come home and get him right. That's just me.
But I was more afraid of my mother than my father. My father wasn't in the home. Because my father had a different discipline style than my mother. My father was more of, I'm going to put you in a corner, I'm going to make you run, I'm going to make you hold these cinder blocks up. My mom, man, I didn't know what my mom was going to do. So I was more afraid of my mother than I was of my father. And my mother didn't care about going to jail, and that was the even more scary, the worst part about it, because she didn't care about
going to jail if she had to discipline us. And I think, and that made us think, like, man, she'll really harm us. Like, she'll really do something if we step out of line. But my dad was more controlled. I was more afraid of my mom than my dad. And I was taller than my mother. My mom is only about 4'9", 4'11" at the most. Maybe about 110 pounds. I'm like that all my life. And even to this day, I might, you know, me and my mom might, you know, I might try to gain, you know, get my independence and, you know, I'm my own woman, blah, blah, blah. But I will not cross a line with my mother because she ain't no joke.
Say, David.
Yes.
I think the point that you was making about the arrest is why when it comes to the like the whole war on drugs and all that, why I disagree with it, because it's exactly what you're saying. Like laws aren't enforced. You know, in certain areas, they're primarily enforced in low-income and black neighborhoods, which is why you see crime. And then people want to say, well, and they basically enforce the crime where people tend to be poor. So then when there's more money issues and government intrusion, those families are more fragmented and, you know, more single-parent homes. And so they're just choosing to arrest and criminalize those people more than in the suburbs, because white people smoke weed just as much or more than black people, you know, and they do all kinds of stuff, meth and all, you know, all this type of stuff that most black people don't even think about doing, but the law is enforced in, you know, in our neighborhoods, but
right.
Not theirs, you
exactly,
know, so
because
essentially
I have a cousin who sells drugs. I don't agree with it. I just, it boggles my mind that my cousin does this. His biggest clientele is white people from the suburbs.
Yeah.
And it was my boss. I said, wait a minute, but why is it that it's, and he sells weed and he sells heroin. He says black people tend to buy the weed more, but white people tend to buy the heavier, more expensive drug. But his biggest clientele is non-African-American. And so I couldn't understand it because I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why is it that black people or the black men typically are the ones who are in jail at such a high rate? And he said, because the police are in the inner city. They enforce the drug laws in the inner city, not really out. And you know what? They aren't out. I, man, to see a police car in my neighborhood or in the area that I live in, we're so small, we have to be policed by Columbus. That's how small we are. But we do have a rampant meth problem in this area. Not illegal, but children, teenagers, are doing pills and other drugs. We have a big problem here. But we don't have any enforcement here.
It's just like, you know, but which is why, to me, it comes down to basically war on drugs is just, those are just laws for blacks. And there's black laws and white laws. Because it's just like how it's illegal to spit on the sidewalk in just about every municipality. That used to be on the law books in just about every city, you know, and town. But the police don't enforce it. So, you know, it's not, so therefore it's effectively not illegal to spit on the sidewalk. Well, it's the same thing if you want to do drugs. You know, it's effectively not illegal to, it's not illegal to do drugs if you're white and you don't live next to a bunch of black people. That's essentially what the law minds will say that. I mean, that's essentially what the law, what these drug laws should say. As long as you don't live too, as long as there's not too many black people around you, and you're not black yourself, then you know, this doesn't apply to you. Because, I mean, you can't even, I could tell you, like, I can't, you can't even walk down the street black men in, is I still live in a predominantly black neighborhood, and black men can't even walk down the street without the police stopping them. Like, people think this stop and frisk is just New York City. This happens in every urban neighborhood across the country. I mean, you have guys that are just riding bikes, and people, and the police will stop them on their bike and start searching them. And, you know, and it's, we're just constantly harassed. And if that was to happen in the suburbs where people's constitutional rights were just violated just incessantly all the time, every day, right in broad daylight, it would be, you know.
You know what the excuse would be? Well, we don't have the crime that you have in the inner city. And I'm like, it's really not about crime. These police officers are not doing this based on crime, because if you don't have a I'm sorry, not all black people look alike. I know they say we do. But if you have a person who committed a crime and that person is 6'4", why do you need to stop somebody who's 5'10"? That person is heavy. Why do you need to stop somebody who's
5'10"? Hold on, Diva. Somebody should have seen there was a problem on the way to happening here.
What do you mean somebody should have seen there was a problem on the way to happening here?
We've got a young man here playing with a rifle on Facebook, making gang signs. He's also posting pictures of a handgun, and you're not allowed to own a handgun unless you're 21 years old, and stacks and stacks and stacks of $100 bills. There's got to be 20 grand laying here.
It would establish.
And somebody had to have seen this. Somebody should have said, hey, maybe there's a problem going to happen here.
Well, maybe, maybe not. What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. What problem? So, it's not like you had a parent that was monitoring his Facebook. But if you guys go to the Blaze, I'll put it in the chat room if you want me to. But if you go to the Blaze, you can see the story there. It is a story about these young teenagers who, I have to say, allegedly shot this kid because they were bored.
Oh, no, they it's not allegedly.
How do you know it's not allegedly?
The one kid said he shot him. In open court, the judge had to tell him, hey, you
shut up. he's as bad as that major they're trying down there at Fort Hood for shooting up the place.
Oh, yeah, he just admitted to everything.
Yeah. I think that's $10,000 in every bundle.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Yeah,
because that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And it's because if you think about it, a stack of $100 bills is only like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And this has a little weight to it.
That's 10
yeah, you got rubber bands around
10,
it.
Yeah.
30, 40, 50.
Just give
60,
me what's in the
70.
Top left-hand corner. I don't
yeah.
need any more.
Oh, there's got to be.
The top left-hand corner there, that picture, I'll take that.
Now that I look this closer, it's got to be 100 grand here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
And $100 bills. I ain't never seen 100 grand in $100 bills.
I have in the picture. Yes, South Carolina.
I'm just curious. So you think they're going to call this a hate crime?
Why you want to start something? You're always doing something, because I got bills already talking about Zimmerman. What are y'all talking about? This can't be a hate crime.
I think so. They shot the kid.
No,
shot
so,
the guy
no, no, no. Cause then why don't all the all the
nope.
I want to know where is the woman? Where's the NAACP and all them people? Where's Al Sharpton? They gonna go down in March?
I hope so, but I tell you what, if the Klan starts marching, the NAACP needs to have a Coke smile sitting down and shut up.
Wait a minute. Okay, so I'm on theblaze.com, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, okay, the first young man has a U.S. Army T-shirt on in his video. The second picture has a picture of a gun. And then the third picture has, which looks like somebody just perping, with a picture of stacks upon stacks.
Oh, no. Diva, go back to theblaze.com.
Okay.
And at the top corner where you see the slideshow going in, at the big, right before, under the banner.
Okay.
You'll see top stories, and if you give it a minute, it'll start going through, and you'll be able to see it.
That's I'm looking at the pictures that you guys are
talking
at
the right
about.
Picture. He does
right.
have a, he does have an
he
army,
has
army
army.
Yeah,
the
U.S.
Army
T-shirt on.
The problem is, Diva, you can pick him up at any fair there is.
Okay. No,
17.
I was just making sure that I'm looking at the right picture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're looking at
the right
thing.
One. That's James
that's
Edwards.
Okay.
His name is James Edwards.
Okay.
Okay, because what the, my only thing is that how many urban, rural kids do we see? Yeah, I get he allegedly killed somebody, but how many rural kids do we see who are posting pictures with their shotguns and their guns and whatnot?
Not pointing at people. Not pointing at.
He's not pointing at anybody.
There are. I mean, hold on. There are. But now, I don't have a problem with the little video. But come on down. You see the little stack of cash?
Tracy, that stack of cash is not cash that drug dealers have. Anybody who's seen drug dealers or money drug dealers have, they don't have stacks and stacks of $100 bills. I don't even think that's a real picture for him. I think that's a picture that he posted trying to perp. Drug dealers don't have that type of money like that. They have small bills because that's what their clientele brings them.
You can't try to take up for the kid.
Tracy, I'm not taking up for the kid. Trust me, because what they did was heinous. But you guys are What you guys are trying to say is look at the pictures, and yes, no wonder from the pictures that they would do something like this. You know what I'm saying? You guys are insinuating something from the pictures. And I'm like, fabricate, they lie. And I'm going to tell you right now, that picture with the money, that's no proof that he was dealing drugs or doing anything illegal.
I didn't say he was a drug dealer. That's all I said. I'm just saying. Look at the minds. Okay, let's put this all together. You got a kid playing with a gun. He's showing you a handgun. He got little gang signs or whatever they call it right there on a mattress with no sheets. He got some little money going on, you know, in the next picture. And the next time you see him, he got a mug shot. I'm not trying to say he was a drug dealer. I just said, look at the mindset of this kid. And it's not like the mindset of a lot of young people around America today. My problem is they shot a man in the back because they were bored.
Yeah, I have the same problem.
This is past stepping on my shoes and showing disrespect. I'm bored. So I just go off and start picking people off and start shooting them. By the grace of God, there go you or I. I have a problem with this. But my problem is what's starting this. There's a systemic root here. There's a root here that needs to be pulled up.
Bad kids who had, I don't care what their parents say, because the one thing that disgusts me is I read an article where one of the mothers said, my son is a good kid. If your son was such a good kid, he wouldn't have done something or went along with something like this. But the root of it is people always trying to find, sometimes kids are just bad seeds. They have no regard for authority or human life. These are the same kids who grew up to be serial killers, serial rapists, constantly breaking the law.
Again, I'd say there are some kids out there that are just plain out bad. But when you're looking at the homicide rate of Americans right now, especially African Americans, when you look at what they're doing, who's shooting whom, we need to be honest about there is a problem here. When you look at suicide, there is a problem here. If you look at just death and murder, and this is just unwarranted death, there is a problem, and we don't want to talk about the root of it. And the root of it is the lack of a family unit.
Diva, I go shoot trap every Wednesday, just about every Wednesday night.
He leaves me and goes and shoots.
There are constantly kids there, 12, 13, 14 years old, handling firearms constantly. There are many firearms in their homes. They do not act like this. There's something in the culture that's different. Between
no, there's not
this culture
there are
and the other in my culture.
Okay, I'm just saying if it was so different that between a responsible gun owner and them having guns, then you wouldn't have so many accidental shootings among children
shootings.
From people.
There
was a guy whose son killed himself, because he had his gun in the front seat of his car underneath his seat. He was licensed to carry. He claimed to be a responsible gun owner, and his son got a hold of that gun and killed himself while he went into the store. A young girl was killed by her brother by this very gun that his parents gave him. Responsible gun owners.
They're not responsible gun owners. Oh, no, Diva. They're not responsible gun owners.
Okay,
for
but you're
thing,
insinuating
in Ohio,
that people
oh,
who
hold
go
it, hold
to
it, hold
gun
it.
Range.
Let me explain something. No, wait a minute. In Ohio, it is illegal to keep a loaded firearm underneath the seat of your car, even if you have a concealed carry license. It has to be in the glove box, locked, or in a holster on your person.
This was not that was so, not that case was Ohio.
Yeah, that means he's not a responsible gun owner.
But
also, the person you said that they get that they gave the child a gun and didn't lock it up, that's not a responsible gun owner. You have to understand, responsible gun owners' kids do not accidentally shoot anybody.
I didn't say that they were they didn't lock it up. They allowed the little boy to take it out, to play with it. Not play with it. I want to say play with it. In my head, he was playing with it. They was doing
Viva.
Practice shooting. He turned the gun, did something, and he shot and killed his little sister.
Viva.
I think she's like
Viva,
years
Viva,
old.
Viva, 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 listen. This is something, when you are a gun owner, and a majority of real gun owners, we need to understand what their mindset is. One, they will pull a gun out. If Sticks hands me a gun, the first thing I'm going to do is before he hands it to me, he's going to empty the carriage, or the cart.
Either going to open the cylinder,
okay,
unload it, or if it's an automatic, I'm going to remove
the clip,
the magazine,
okay,
and pull a slide back and lock the slide back.
And I'm going to look and make sure that when he hands me the gun,
the chamber
is empty. All this happens with responsible gun ownership. So if you hand a gun to a child, you don't hand a loaded gun to a child unless you're at a range and he's going to be shooting it, and you're going to be standing there with your hand in his hand and showing him how to go about it. You don't put it in the hand of a 5-year-old.
Right.
And you don't make this a toy to them. Again, people do things, and just because you have a gun doesn't make you responsible and or have common sense.
And that's my point. And just because you go to a gun range and you're a gun enthusiast does not mean that you are
the majority of people who are gun enthusiasts, you don't hear a whole lot of accidental shootings from them. They have major safes that cost more than what our houses cost in the city inside their homes where they hide their guns. Hold on. 692, your mic is on.
Well, if you want to pull out the root or get to the root of this, I agree with your caller. Okay, where did they get these guns from? I don't care what these pictures say or whatever. Let's get to the bottom of where did these kids get these guns. Let's do some research. Let's dig a little bit and find out where did these guns come from, because they were purchased legally somewhere along the way. Okay.
They didn't have to be purchased legally somewhere along the way.
When they were new, they were purchased legally, absolutely.
Yes. There isn't a secret criminal gun factory in America or in the world.
What I'm saying is,
which has already been illegal. But you can only print a part of the gun, and that's already been addressed by 3D printing. Do these kids own a 3D printer? Do these kids own a 3D printer? No. Okay.
No.
Where did these guns come from? They were purchased legally by someone, okay, somewhere along this route before they murdered. Before the gun was used in murder, it was purchased legally somewhere.
I agree.
You're right. Okay, I'll give you that.
So where? Where
well, we
did
have
it go
to
on?
Find
did...
the point where it went from being a legal gun to an illegal gun.
Yes, and with the FBI statistics say that between 13% and 20% of guns used in crimes are stolen. Where are the other 80% coming from? Okay, not every criminal goes out and steals his gun. Okay, they're getting them somehow. When you keep flooding these streets with guns, you're going to have this. You want to say family, the culture of family and all that stuff? That's great, but there's good families, bad families. There's good people, there's bad people, black and white. But when you flood an area continually with easy guns, this is not a surprise. That's why I'm kind of shocked.
No,
he's
right. He's right.
You know?
But I disagree with you because it's a mindset.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the reason I disagree with the caller is because in my neighborhood, I can guarantee you that there are more guns in more houses than there probably are in the inner city.
But see, let me say it this way, Sticks. This is where I agree with him. In the inner city, those guns are coming back on the street somehow. And a good amount of them may or may not be coming from a gun shop. So
there
when you have
probably none coming from a gun shop.
So when you have that many guns inside of a concentrated area and a good 60% of them are illegal guns, where are those guns coming from? And why? And if they're illegal guns, how are they attaining them and where are they coming from? And how are they being flooded into this concentrated area?
Exactly.
Can I chime in on that, Jersey?
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I don't care. These gun laws are they're already unconstitutional, and I'm not really concerned about trying to put more tracking on our guns, which is only going to further erode our constitutional rights. I don't care. Guns don't cause crimes. It's the people that do. So what we need to do is focus on the systemic issues in society and not try to scapegoat guns or, I mean, if guns kill people, then spoons make people fat. This is just stupid.
That's a cute saying that I've heard repeated several times. And what I like to say is, yeah, guns don't kill people. People with guns kill people. You don't want to scapegoat guns, but you want to scapegoat other systematic problems like poverty or education or family values. You do. You say,
nope,
don't scapegoat guns.
I'm a libertarian. You never heard me say that. I'm a libertarian.
Well, no, you just said, don't scapegoat guns. Let's look at other systematic problems that are causing
them.
You do. Well, the guns in those areas, you put a gun in front of a person with no other future, and they say, what do I have?
This is bigger than boredom.
There's kids that are bored everywhere, but you put a gun in the mix, and now they think it's okay to go shoot somebody?
But this is the mindset. This is bigger than boredom. They weren't bored to tears to where they could go out and shoot somebody. You have to understand how they were raised, what they were raised on, and what would condition your mind enough to say, let's go pick off people. This is no worse than when they used to go and pick black people off just for the fun of it.
The only thing I have a problem with, Tracy, is that you're saying, look how they were raised. Some people who come from very good homes, those kids do egregious things, heinous things, commit heinous acts. It has nothing to do with how they're raised.
Diva,
like the caller said,
kids that come from stable homes, because if you really want to know what goes on inside of a home, watch what comes, the fruit that comes out the house. I don't care. There's no way that you can raise up a child right and have in a stable environment, and then they come outside cuckoo as a cuckoo clock. It just doesn't work that way.
The kids at Columbine that shot up Columbine came from wealthy parents in great suburbs in a stable environment, and
they bought guns at a gun show.
There was an armed guard on campus, and none of that stopped it.
440. Okay. We need to stop this suburban stable because I got money.
Yeah.
The only difference is you got money, but no one knows what goes on behind closed doors. There are people that are living in hell in the suburbs. They just cut their grass and water their flowers. And just because
I'll take it over the inner city any day where I got to worry about my life every day. Okay, the problem with white people problems
hold
are different.
On. That is
white
a,
people
that,
problems
that is a,
are a lot easier.
Wait a minute. Hold, no, sweetie. I live in the inner city and I got a great life. And I don't worry about me going home, and I live in the inner city of Youngstown. Don't
I live in the country,
that.
And I got a great life. I live in the country, and I got a
so
great life. I escaped
so
the city.
So don't tell me that you can't live in the inner city and not have a good life.
But we're
true.
Talking statistically. Statistically, more
no,
crime happens there.
You choose the life in which you live. The problem that we have is we keep on judging people by where they live and by not who they are. Poor people don't make bad people.
What to you is an unstable home? Because I think that's what we need to
Diva, there are people that live inside of homes where their parents are alcoholics. and yet they go to work every day. They're functional alcoholics. They're drug users. They beat up on their wives. They cuss each other out every day. They don't get along, and their house is unstable. Yet when they walk outside the door, you would think they were the loving couple, and they were Ward and June Cleaver, and they're not. We need to get past that.
Well, was that the case with the Columbine shooter's parents?
A lot of you have to understand, just because the Columbine people had a little money, lived in the suburbs, if your child wears black all day long and is crazy enough to go and shoot up a place, there's something wrong in your ticker that tells you there's something unstable that they did not get in their home.
That's not true, because there's no way
I'm supposed to be able to build a bomb in my parents' garage and nobody know it, and you call me I've got a good environment that's a stable household. That's crazy.
And I guarantee you, before my kids left the house, there wasn't a single one of them that would have a gun in their bedroom.
You can't have a gun that I don't know about. You can't build a bomb in my garage and in my basement that I don't know about. You can't do all that and then finance it with the money that I give you. That's crazy. Hold on.
That's
626, your mic is on.
Hey, this is Lisa from California. I hope you guys are doing good. Hey. You know, I just wanted to say, it seems like every time a black person commits a crime, we always say it's because of single parents. But look at the mafia. All of those ruthless guys came from two-parent households. Same thing with serial killers. But we always, for some reason, with black people, they're gang members. It must be the rap music. And it's like, are you kidding me? That's why Paula Deen uses the N-word, because she grew up listening to rap music. Every time a white person does something, it's because of mental illness. Then when we do something, it's because of our environment and the music that we're listening to and sagging pants. And that's not fair.
That's not what I said. What I'm saying to you, what would you say? Paula Deen used the N-word 27 years ago, and we need to get past that, because if that's the case, everybody used the N-word.
What I'm saying is white people use rap music as an excuse. Well, black people use that word every day. You know, yeah, you understand what I'm saying. It's like, she grew up during the civil rights movement. She knows that word is wrong, and it has nothing to do with rap music.
Well,
I've got 75-year-old relatives that still use that word. I find it distasteful, but they are my seniors, so I just ignore them.
Tell me something. How come my seniors in my family that are 75, how come they don't disrespect white people like that? And they were the ones disrespected.
Because we were taught not to.
Exactly. My grandmother lived to be in her 90s, and not once did I ever hear her disrespect a white person. But, Six, you're
because
telling me a 75-year-old in your family still has the audacity to do that? That's ridiculous.
Absolutely. No, it's not. We need to be. We need to wake up.
We need to be honest about this.
If you really think in the privacy of people's conversation, if you think that things are not being said that are being said, they are. They are being said.
Believe me, because they tell me because they think I'm a good black person. So they go ahead and tell me quite a bit.
Ma'am, I guarantee you there are black households in this country where behind closed doors there are some very evil things being said about white people.
No.
And why? Why?
No.
Why is
no.
that?
No.
Anytime I've ever heard that, and it's because of the reason behind it. It has nothing to do with your color.
See, that's just it.
It has to be because of the conversation another day.
Okay. But no. No, not to the evil that you think.
Exactly.
Because we've been conditioned to always appreciate NASA.
Exactly. And you'll get in trouble if you say something wrong.
Absolutely. So you don't know.
You may speak it behind.
Even if you don't even speak it, you don't even think it.
I'm talking behind closed doors.
Behind closed doors. You don't disrespect
work.
NASA. Because
exactly.
You don't know who's going to go out and tell
them. You don't do that. That's
no.
right.
No.
We've been trying.
No,
this
is what I'm saying. Even in the privacy of our own houses and our own conversations, outside of you saying the white boy crazy, absolutely not. No, you don't get a whole.
Yeah.
No, that's not derogatory. But see, the conversation that go on in white America about black America is totally different than what black folks say about white America.
And it's not a hate, it's a fear.
Exactly.
Okay. And not only that, it's not even based on experience. It's like they're around black people.
You still have people who won't go to a black doctor because they think white's better. And we're talking about black
folks.
Exactly. So we've been conditioned to still believe no matter what, white is always right. That's why we hate white.
I've been listening for like the past 20 minutes. I find it real interesting how the conversation went from these three these three wild kids, and I haven't said anything. This conversation went from the three kids that killed this Australian guy for no other reason because they were bored. I mean, they're, and I think two of them are, look like two of them are black. I've seen the pictures. It looks like two of them are black, and one of them's white.
I think one's mulatto. I think he's mixed.
I just find it interesting that the conversation went from, you know, the reasons why, and then it turned into race, and you guys forgot the topic.
We
didn't forget the topic.
No, but
the
race is the bigger issue, and race might not even play a part.
No, it's not the bigger issue. We're not even dealing with skin color or anything
Can I just make a point?
Can I just make the observation,
and I'll let you guys continue. I just find it interesting that it went to race and it stayed on race.
It does have something to do with race.
You guys are making so many absolutes and generalizations about race.
No family, no group.
But you have to understand, it goes to race because you have to understand if the roles had been reversed and you had three white boys going down the street and they shot this black boy in the back and they said it was just because they were bored.
The media formulates your guys' opinions?
Brown, listen. Let's be honest. If it was three white boys going down the street, we got not three white boys and a black boy going down the street, and they shoot this black boy in the back, and they say it was just because I was bored, the conversation that you would hear would be totally different than the conversation about three black boys killing this white boy or this Australian in the back.
And that's because people have all their prejudices and all their ideas and all their misconceptions. There's no absolutes.
It's not about absolutely. It's just it is what it is.
It's
the conversation
about
with
absolutely
the paradigm.
Because people look for simplistic solutions for all these different type of things that happen, and you want to put put a simple narrative to it, and it's not that simple.
Matt, your mic's on.
I kind of popped in the middle of this, so I'm really not quite sure. Here's where I came in. I came in where I heard no black people talked about white people in a racist way behind closed doors. That's what I heard, and I called in. So what's that all about?
Then keep on listening. I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy.
Okay. I'll fill you in, Matt.
Go ahead, Diva.
Lisa from California called in because we were talking about these three boys who killed this young man because they were bored. Well, the conversation was, it seems to me and another caller that the reason why they go out and do this, it has to be because of their environment, how they're raised, blah, blah, blah. So then we got into, so Lisa called in and said, how come when it's a black killing, when it's black people who do the killing, it has to do with their environment or how they were raised or whatever? When a white person kills, there's not that many justifications. It's mental illness. And then, you know, we got into a conversation.
It's an aberration. It's an aberration instead of the normal course of behavior.
Sticks had made a comment saying that he still has 75-year-olds or older senior citizens in his family that uses the N-word and says disparaging things about African-Americans. Tracy said that she's never heard that type of evil talk in her family or from black people. I've never heard anybody in my family, and I have a huge extended family, talk about white people in such a way, and that's how the conversation got on race.
Let me chime in really quick. Usually, in my experience, from what I've seen, if it's a white person doing the killing, mental illness is actually a new thing. I haven't heard a lot about a mental illness when it comes to if a white person kills a black person. That just started recently.
Killing a black person, but a white person killing, period. Like the Columbine shooting, Sandy Hook, Aurora, stuff like that.
Okay.
They're all mentally ill. You have to be mentally ill and something wrong with you or morally deficient to do something like that. and take an innocent life. It doesn't matter what color you are.
Which
you're mentally ill, you're morally deficient.
Which is absolutely correct, but we're talking
right.
about the way society views a white person killer and a black person killer.
Well,
so, and that's a major thing. It is what it is. You're right, Brown. It is what it is.
Well, also, the white person killer can be perceived or what the narrative would be that this person is racist. That this person did this because
right,
of racial
right.
animus.
That's
and,
where I was coming at the
right,
beginning.
Okay, that
correct.
It could be done because of racial animus. And mm-hmm. it's likely, you know, who knows what each situation is different, and there's no simple explanation to any of this stuff. But it's okay. likely these three boys, one of them looked white to me, they say he's mulatto, and they put their pictures up. They don't normally put juveniles' pictures up. You know, it's likely that they may have killed this guy. They may have killed this guy because he was white or because he talked funny.
The funny thing with white people, I have to
wonder, like, was it pure boredom? Did they pick a white victim purposely, or did he come along and he just happened to be their victim?
You know what? You have to look at all around, because we just had a couple years ago in Cleveland. Honestly, it's because you're bored and because you're what Brown was saying. You're a psychopath. You really do have a mental problem if you can kill anybody.
Yeah.
I don't care what color they are. Because
yeah.
we had in Cleveland, it was two white people, and it was almost in broad daylight in the middle of all these people, they were killed by black people. Now, you can find black people killing white people. You can find white people killing black people. It's ongoing. And
exactly.
It's really...
But the killings in Chicago, when you walk up to somebody, you are willing to walk up to somebody and shoot somebody in the head in cold blood, or just shoot somebody in cold blood, or just spray bullets. And you don't care about the people around, and if their children are around,
right.
you have a mental defect. Something
absolutely.
Is serious.
Well, there's actually an explanation, a more logical explanation. I don't know if it's logical to you guys, but it's gangs. It's gangs, and gangs being displaced because they tore down all of the public housing, and then you have people people going into different neighborhoods. And then you also have a breakdown because they've effectively eliminated the jailed gang leadership. It's gangs.
But we have to get to the obvious root, because when you look at how these gangs, when you look at a gang leader, and
gangs back
in the day and what they were formed for, because the gangs in L.A. and the reason why they were formed are completely different than why they have them now. Because now you have a sociopath or a psychopath who wants to control people who suffer from narcissistic tendencies, who wants to control people and build this relationship that he or she never had with their father or mother, and they're trying to build this family, and it goes back to mental illness.
You're giving a clinical explanation, you know, a simple clinical explanation of why. I know we all need to explain everything in order to understand it, or to give our own minds a way to understand it. That could be part of it. I don't know. Gangs are reality.
I grew up in Youngstown, and I mean,
I'm from Los Angeles. So.
Steve, let me agree.
And when
with
you grow up, time. When you grow up around people, when somebody can go kill in cold blood, they have no regard for human life. That means their mind has shut down to the fact that this is a living and breathing person who bleeds, and their life ends if you do something. Their thought process is shut completely down.
I think part of it is video games. These violent video games.
It's not a small part of it. That's a big part of it. However,
it's a part of it.
A person who is affected by a simple video game that's meant to be entertainment. When you get to
these games are addictive. Hello. They play for hours and hours on end. And when you're able to pull a trigger and, you know.
All of that falls under, because that is my livelihood, basically.
Diva, hold on one second, Brown. When it comes to video games, it makes it easier for these things to happen, but you do have to have a mental weakness in order to buy into it. I don't think – my kids play video games, but I don't think for a second, because they don't have that look in their eye and they don't have that weird actions. I've seen some of these kids that play video games hours on end, and you can tell that they got a slight mental weakness that says that they can't separate reality from
it. They turn it into an addict.
they're an addict for the action of the game.
Most of them suffer from some type of depression. They're suffering from some type of depression. They're suffering from their social. When you look at these kids who become addicted to these games and they go out and take a leap from a game to bring it into reality, what is going around in that environment that they have to constantly play these games to get away from reality?
Probably neglect. Hello? Probably
who
neglect. Real quick story. I remember being a kid and watching something on television on TV. I think the show was Hawaii Vio. It was a while ago. Someone randomly walked up and shot someone, and I was about 12 years old, and I started laughing. And my father said, "What is wrong with you?" And turned the television off. He said, "That's wrong. That's nothing funny."
Right.
He said, "Do you think it's funny that someone killed? What if someone just shoot your mother? What if someone to shoot me? What if someone to shoot your brother for no reason at all? That's absolutely wrong." I was corrected as a child, and I was made to, to face that.
Game Grand Theft Auto. I sat there and I watched my cousins, my little cousins, they're about anywhere between 9 and they were 14 playing that game. And they were really trying to rack up points by beating up a person, stabbing. And I'm like, how can a parent sit and allow their child to get such a game that they think killing somebody, beating somebody up is entertainment?
I'll give Grand Theft Auto one thing is that it doesn't take out race because you're beating up anybody who's walking down the street.
Yeah.
There was one guy who was trying to get in here. Who was it?
Well, it was Michigan, and I think you got a couple of issues. And you're talking about dysfunctional, they're not really communities. And this thing about the black-on-black violence, when you look at these young guys, there's no difference from them killing each other than any political fighting. Now, they're fighting over, and one guy said it, they're fighting over turf, they're fighting over drug corners. Now, that's dysfunctional. Why isn't an army fighting over turf, fighting for power?
Same thing.
That's dysfunctional as well. Why do we want to categorize it something different when that's exactly what they're doing? If you look at most of the murders in Chicago, these are gangs. They're fighting over turf. They're fighting over places to make money. They're fighting over these are power struggles.
You know what a lot of the killings are?
Wait a minute.
Revenge.
This is the power that they have. This is their turf. Who they believe is their turf. So it's no different from a country running into somebody else's country, fighting over power and war and material. It's the same thing.
In Michigan,
if you look at it that way, that forces the country to take a look at what did it do when you have all these inner city dysfunctional neighborhoods.
Now, can I ask this of all of you, and it out of curiosity, do you think it's actually, this used to be the way it was. It was all about turf. It was all about possession. It was all about power because you felt all your power was taken away. I think gang activity has actually transcended into something different. I think it's a thing of status nowadays, and I'm talking in the last 10, 15 years.
From my understanding, from talking to the FBI, what they have now, the killings and the homicides, and the actual assaults that are happening happening more on based upon respect and based upon females.
Yes, I'll have to agree.
A lot of it has to do with respect, and you disrespected me, or you disrespected my woman, or you tried to talk to my woman, or something on that order, and it's going that way.
So I was a woman involved.
So I'm sorry. See, there you go.
A lot of the killings that happened in Youngstown, I think it was two years ago, where it seemed like every day there was a young person getting killed. And it turns out because they thought that person might have snitched to the police about a criminal activity that they did.
There's a lot of reasons these people are killing.
But when you have three young men going down the street and they just pull up a gun and says, "I'm bored," and start shooting, But the dynamic of that says a lot. You got to realize that's a major dynamic. And then my issue is with how we as the media will spin this based upon who the players were in the crime. See, that's another issue because, again, these kids did this for sport, and whether right, wrong, or indifferent, they shouldn't have done it. But if the races had been reversed, the whole conversation would have been taken on a whole new dynamic. And that's not right.
The bottom line is this. Something like this can happen.
The bottom line is this. Those guys committed a crime within a culture who is going to prosecute them to the fullest of the extent. And if, in fact, by any means necessary, if
why
that means using a racial motive, they'll do it.
Why
if it
is
means
that
not using a racial motive, they'll do
why
it.
Is,
but what I'm saying
is that
Michigan
side today is that
Michigan.
That's the bottom line. I don't. What the media is going to say is indifferent. The bottom line is this culture is going to prosecute them to the fullest of the extent.
Would you know?
And are you trying to say they shouldn't?
No, I'm not trying to say that they shouldn't. I'm saying that they're going to, but you kept bringing up the flip side. If it was three blacks, three whites killing a black,
I've got to bring up
to the fullest of the extent.
Pretty sure that they just prosecuted Zimmerman to the fullest, beyond the fullest of the extent.
No, Matt. No,
yes,
they did.
You can't compare that.
Matt, you can't. No, they didn't.
I cannot compare.
Matt, remember
what the bill. You can't argue
Matt,
with statistics.
Matt, when they investigated the Zimmerman trial, they investigated this as a self defense in the first place. Remember, the guy was home, sitting at home, drinking a Snapple.
Right.
When they came back and arrested
him. Yes, I remember that. Absolutely. You're right.
And remember, you have to understand the prosecutor overcharged them. There was no murder two when they went into the grand jury and pulled that charge out the air.
There was no grand jury.
It was never a murder two, huh?
There was never a grand jury. The grand jury was disassembled, and they decided to bypass grand jury.
And they just charged him with a...
Yes, it was
he was indeed prosecuted. He was prosecuted for second-degree murder.
Correct, but the elements of a crime never showed a second-degree murder. It was always a manslaughter charge. It just always was.
Even a manslaughter charge would have been...
It was a second degree murder.
Second degree
was
never
not there.
According to our expert witness that we
I'm
had
not
on
talking.
Ayu,
I wonder how anybody that feels. I wonder how anybody that feels that he was justified, and there's a lot of people that have been brainwashed to think that it's okay what Zimmerman did. I wonder how many people would feel that way if he killed someone in their family.
Exactly.
I really wonder how they would feel.
We had a expert witness on here who we learned later was assisting the defense.
Okay.
And Masad Ayoub is his name. He's
but,
written.
But just tell us what he said.
Okay.
I got 10 minutes.
Sorry. According to him, you made me lose my stinking train of thought.
Just because you went through his bio.
I know.
Right.
But according to him, the entire trial was politically motivated.
Correct.
It was politically motivated because there was no evidence that night to even charge him with a crime. But because of the outcry and going, there was none.
You had a person
who was dead with no weapon.
We only have six minutes left in the show. We need about 60 years in order to complete this.
I know. Let me clear this up for a second. We said fullest extent prosecuted is what Michigan was bringing up, okay? Fullest extent, not found guilty, prosecuted. And we just admitted on this show that Zimmerman was charged beyond what he should have been. At least
no,
two
that's
people.
Y'all's side.
Hold on.
Prosecutors overcharge all the time.
Let me finish my point and I'll stop. That was brought up. My point is Zimmerman was prosecuted to the absolute fullest extent of that crime, if not beyond. So your point, Michigan, is null and void because of this latest
major national thing. You can't compare a white man killing a black man. You're spinning this around. Listen, let me tell you something. We can talk all this crap we want. The statistics are already out
there.
Yes,
you certainly can.
Blacks and whites that commit the same crimes, blacks are overcharged, more likely to get jailed, more likely to get the death penalty. So quit this crap. And that's all over the country.
Hey, you used one example.
You can dance around that all you want to.
And there's two reasons for that. Well, one of the reasons is resources. Okay? One of the reasons is resources. This is a capitalistic system. And it helps to have money. Let me ask you this, if George Zimmerman didn't have all of these nice people that sent him $300,000 or $400,000 so that he can get a top quality defense, the results could have been different.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Let me also say this when it comes to the disparity of African Americans inside of the judicial system. What happens is you have two separate people going into the justice system, and the perception of African Americans is always never the positive one inside of that situation with an all-white jury, most times. Secondly, the disproportionate amount of money that they have and their allocation of them, because you can't wear your gold, your jewelry, and put it in your person when you get arrested, not have a savings account in the background and think you're going to win with a public defender and no investigations. And so when you're using a public defender and you're using public defense, you're not going to get the best defense that you need when you go into court. And then when you go inside the court and nobody looks like you but you, that's a problem too.
But, Tracy, the only point that I'm making, I continuously make it, is that to me, you guys, particularly the blacks on the line, who try to rationalize non-important reasons why we can't access the Justice Department like whites and things of this nature, you do blacks a disservice, because you leave them under the impression is that this is a neutral and colorblind society, and sooner or later it's going to be okay.
No,
but you have no historical proof for that. You have
Sweetie,
no historical
I just told
fact.
You
have nothing. Why do you
I
do
just
that?
Listen. Because it's true. The reason well, our problem, our, big, our biggest problem is we walk in everywhere as the victim and never as the victor.
Oh boy.
And until we change our mindset to a victor mindset, we will always be the victim and we will always get run over.
If OJ had
there
been
is
OJ, OJ would have been
no
in jail.
Historical data to
but
bag
he had
that
money
up,
enough to
about.
Buy
I don't
the best
care. Again,
don't
what
care.
Tracy's saying.
I, what
do you
I'm
mean
saying
you
is.
Care?
Because until you understand this, until you understand that you can become the victor in a lot of situations and you always walk in as the victim, your mindset takes you where you're going, and that's a problem when it comes to African Americans. And as long as we tell people that you're always going to be poor, you're always going to be downtrodden, and you're never no better than what the white man said you are, then you believe it. You drink the Kool-Aid, that's where you are.
And the only way you can get out is being a singer, entertainer, or sports, or you rely on government. You can't do it yourself, Tracy.
See, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
But that's true. You can't, you know, that's in our community. Am I lying? You're either a sports entertainer or...
That's all I want to be. That's all I want to become, and that's all I want to go. And then I'm going to follow somebody else down the street to tell me how to vote.
Don't want your own plumbing company.
No. Plumbing's beneath me. And you can't. And when we go into court, it would be different when you start having black judges sitting on the bench, when you actually start participating inside of the jury pool.
Oh, God. That's my point. That's what I'm talking about. Why do you do that,
that's
Tracy?
What I'm talking
you know
about. I'm done. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. We'll be back here tomorrow. And tomorrow we'll be doing it all over again. We'll see you then. God bless you. And have a good day. Larry, thanks for coming and hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me.
Great. I'm having problems
three
here.
3 hours
late. Quick. Yeah. It doesn't take long.
Brother?
Oh.
Yeah, give Mike Orvovich a call.
You know the mic is still on. I just want you guys to know that.
Oh, okay.
Someone's still there?
I'm still here. I don't even know if we're still on the air or not.
I don't know. You're breaking up badly.
I am?
Yeah, you were just breaking up like you were underwater. You were gurgling.
My computer sucks.
Yeah, now you're clear. Now you're clear.
All right, that's good. Who is this? Is this Blind Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, Blind Mike, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. I came in at the tail end, the last 10 minutes. I've been trying to get free for an hour just so I could sit in, but I'm kind of almost glad I wasn't here.
I was the last half hour, and it was pretty brutal towards the end there, man.
Oh, God. I don't live in a reality. You know, I don't know. And OJ is the wrong thing to use for an example or anything.